were going to count us in.
Hello.
Don't you hello me.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. No?
Oh, you said no. I was about to start. I was about to start. And then you said no. Now I'm going to count us in. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What the f*** is going on down there?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to WTF at TFW once again, where, thank the heavens above, we have no fun pub news items to talk about this week that have to do with the public. Hey, Aaron, how's it going?
Hi. Doing great.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't screen cap this.
Ah, well, I am recording this. You should know.
Just don't take a screen cap. That's what I've learned.
Okay. I don't know what you're talking about. Also, here today with us is Omegas Prime.
For security reasons, I'm now being known as Pedro.
I don't know what you're talking about. Ask me anything about the last week. I don't know what you're talking about. So, we're here today to talk to you about Transformers. And only Transformers. Except for the parts where we don't talk about Transformers. We're going to start off actually by talking about some old-timey business, because Matt Moylan of Little Formers has been posting some blog updates all about his time at Dreamwave. Do you guys remember Dreamwave?
Unfortunately, yes.
I can remember very puffy robots.
I liked several aspects of Dreamwave and did not like some other aspects of Dreamwave, but that's a different discussion. For another time. The main thing is that Matt Moylan has been sharing some interesting stuff about just basically weird anecdotes about stuff he saw at Dreamwave. One, I think one of the most amusing ones, most amusing of the two I've read, being why Red Alert is in the Dreamwave Generation 1 miniseries. Basically, Pat Lee mistakenly drew Sideswipe as being in the Northwest Territories while he was simultaneously in San Francisco. So, in order to fix that more easily, in the Northwest Territories, he was recolored to be Red Alert. And so then Red Alert had to be worked into the series a little bit more often. So, basically, using cover art, once recolored, often parts flipped around, he was inserted into group shots so that Red Alert did not just sort of pop up out of nowhere. But that explains why Red Alert, if I recall correctly, said nothing in that opening miniseries. Granted, a lot of people said nothing in that opening miniseries. I don't even remember what happened in the last half of that miniseries. Like, I remember they're in the Northwest Territories, and then there's like an evil virus thing that's going to make people.
Was there a giant satellite dish?
That too. And then
was there a terribly out of proportion Devastator in there somewhere?
And then Superion shattered like glass when hit with a nuclear bomb. And it was a fun miniseries. It's worth checking out. That was huge when it came out, because I remember that miniseries started when I was just finishing high school, and it was like Transformers comics, and it was like huge.
Yeah, I have like three copies of each of them.
Yeah.
Autobot cover, Decepticon cover, and I tried to get the non-super crazy retailer exclusive cover when I could.
Yeah, like that was a fever there, because we were just kind of like, Transformers comics, yes! Please! Support! Little did we know. Actually, it's funny you talk about the incentive covers, because the other blog post I read, Dream Slaves number 2, is all about ghost artists. Now, we've gotten to know a ghost artist, Alex Milne. We've gotten to know him through various conventions and whatnot. But there's some very interesting stories in here. Some of them about outright ghosting, some more so about just honest mistakes, like the RC lithograph where Pat Lee did the coloring. He put a gigantic signature on that was larger than the actual artist's, leading most people to think that the RC lithograph, famously made into statues and whatnot, they think it's Pat Lee art, and it's not. It's Rob Armstrong's art. And then there's some examples of things where, you know, Pat Lee started drawing it and then couldn't finish for whatever reason or another, and often Rob Ruffalo came in to cover for him. Rob Ruffalo being an artist whose stuff I admit I have not really enjoyed. I think he was the thing that wrecked the Micromaster miniseries, actually. I'm sure he's gotten better, though, since then. But the big one was actually a retailer incentive cover, or exclusive even, for Toronto comic shop Silver Snail, where it was they paid for, you know, a Pat Lee cover, and the cover was not drawn by Pat Lee. It was drawn entirely by Rob Ruffalo.
Well, so, what was it? He may have sketched part of the upper body. Come on.
No. This is the ongoing number one Silver Snail cover. The bottom. The upper body part was...
That was the Sunstorm.
This is the Soundwave punching jazz thing. That was all not Pat Lee.
I guess Sunstorm repeatedly gets mind wiped whenever I go by it.
So, some interesting stories in here. And, you know, once again, Pat Lee was a very marketable artist who, I believe, has been in Asia without leaving Asia for quite a while now.
What's statute of limitation? 7 years?
I'm not sure. Dreamwave did not end happily.
No.
Oh.
So, you guys, Omegas, what are your thoughts on these behind-the-scenes talks? Like, this is not the first time we've seen people talking about the old Dreamwave days, but it's always a bit of an eye-opener.
Oh, yeah. Of course. But, you know, there's still part of me that that still likes the period of Transformers comics that became Pat Lee's Porsche.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were some of the stories I liked. I liked some of the artists that came up around that time. And, you know, like I said, oh, my God, Transformer comics are back. You know, it wasn't just that. It was the fact that it was, you know, the old characters that hadn't received fiction in so long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is this enormous deal. And when you hear the politics of it, the bankruptcy messes and, you know, all the unpaid artists, it's just... I'm not sure how they managed to hold together as long as they did, pumping out what, two or three series at a time?
Quite nefariously, yeah, if I understand correctly.
Running too many probably is part of the problem.
Yeah, just oversaturated it. Like when you're doing a comic miniseries for the MicroMasters, I think you're scraping the bottom of the barrel.
I will always say the MicroMasters miniseries, aside from the artwork, which is a bad thing to say about a comic, was actually kind of cool. It was just drawn kind of terribly.
As long as you didn't look at it, it wasn't bad.
Yeah, I know.
You get it as an audiobook, it's great.
Well, it's not like Nefarious, which was bad to look at and poor to read. Like, MicroMasters had some cool ideas, and unfortunately they were delivered in one of the worst ways possible, I think. I did actually like quite a bit of what came out of Dreamwave. I always felt, I was one of the few people, I felt that ongoing Volume 2 was actually pretty cool and was a marked improvement in Pat Lee's artwork. It felt like he actually did take to heart a lot of the huge criticisms he got for the first ongoing series. And I felt ongoing number 2 was not perfect, was not even, like, amazing, but it was a marked improvement that I thought was going to take us to some good places. Sorry, not ongoing number, but, you know, the second volume of G1 stories that they did, whatever they called it. The one with Shockwave and with Ultra Magnus bursting out of his armor and stuff.
I think it was Volume 2.
Yeah. That was all it was called? It was Volume 2? Okay.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, okay. G1 Volume 2. I haven't read it in years, so it might not stand up at all, but I remember when I was reading it.
I know it doesn't have the zing of Stormbringer or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah, we got Stormbringer and The War Within and Volume 2.
War Within was Dreamwave.
I know. I was going to say Dreamwave brought us War Within, which was some really cool stuff as well. They also brought us the really weird Unicron trilogy comic books, which I always remember enjoying, but not for any reason I could really share or defend.
Yeah, they weren't bad.
They were weird.
Yeah. there was part of me that enjoyed those, and like the way you enjoy the Evil Dead movies. It's like, I know I'm watching crap, but I'm entertained as hell.
Yeah, and they would do just weirdest, most... Like, remember when they brought in the Heralds of Unicron? It was just like, have some G1 guys. And it was like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Galvatron, no reason whatsoever.
Yeah, it's just the whole multiverse thing. And I was like, I guess?
I remember when they started realizing, oh crap, we've got like 30 toys that we haven't put in the comics, and we've got like 4 issues to go. So every single character appears in one splash shot.
Yeah, there was... Well, and it was such an interesting book to read, especially when it moved into Energon, because it just went into a really different direction. because it wanted to remain an ongoing comic. If I remember right, they just changed the name but kept the numbering.
Yes, right. They did.
And
they kept that number rolling.
I really liked what they did with Leader One in the comic books when they moved into Energon, where he was like hooked up to this like hub on the planet and was like this kind of like living brain control center guy. I really liked that. It was a bummer that kind of fell apart.
There's some interesting concepts. I mean, giving the Minicons a leader to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they're supposed to be another race of Transformers, they have absolutely no guidance, no government, nothing.
Yeah.
You know, so I was glad they gave it a little bit of structure.
And they spoke. So,
yeah, they spoke. And then they did something with the Omnibots that confused me.
I forgot what they did with them in the comic.
They were glitchy.
Oh, yeah, they were all, like, messed up or something. The only thing I really remember from the Energon comics was Leader One and Starscream's death in the first issue being kind of oddly drawn. Like, he got cubed or something.
Yeah. What was that? Was that?
No, he fell into a machine, and then he, like, came out in cubes or something like that. Or smashed up into tiny, tiny, tiny pieces. Because they were going to lead into, I believe, him being an Energon ghost, which was the... I remember at the BotCon, when they revealed the Energon toys, the lady doing the presentation said he's an Energon ghost, which was kind of cool to hear. So, anyway. Guys, Dreamwave.
Yeah, it was the thing.
I'm always happy that artists are able to share stories from that era without having to worry about too many repercussions, because it's some really interesting stuff to hear, and it's stuff that I think is good for up-and-coming artists to hear so they know, like, what can happen in their industry. Unless, of course, like, I'm assuming that they need to be told that through these kind of blog posts. I might be completely off base, and, like, this is just stuff that you're...
They have no idea what a ghostwriter is.
Yeah,
breaking their poor little hearts right now.
I might be giving them so little credit that it's kind of offensive. So my apologies if I am. But yeah, it's cool to see this. I hope that you know, we continue hearing bits and pieces from those days, because I mean the company's so far and long gone at this point. I'd love for someone to compile a whole bunch of this into like a softcover book and just tell the Dreamwave story from a bunch of different vantage points. Like, I don't know who would buy it. I don't know if it would sell even like 50 copies, but it's such cool stuff to learn about now in hindsight.
Yeah.
Like, when everyone from then has moved on to most probably better things. Anyway.
Except Pat Lee.
You know, no, Pat Lee's moved on to, like, what, he's got, like, a supermodel wife in China or something like that, and he's, like, still doing work for the big two now and then. Like, he made off like a bandit, as far as I can tell.
Yeah. Didn't he get, like, a whole bunch of cars or something else out of the deal?
That's that too.
Maybe those eventually get repoed.
I think they repoed the ones that he left behind in our continent. I love how there's never been any real discussion with him about why he suddenly just is in China all the time. Unless there was and I missed it, which is entirely possible.
I said pretty lax extradition proceedings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway. Let's move on from talking about old comic book news to talking about new pictures about Transformers news. Let's do some new pick picks, guys. Aaron, what is a picture you'd like to talk about?
It's a series of pictures that move.
What?
We got a new Creo commercial.
We totally got a new... I got to quickly say, Distant Fred on Twitter made a very good point. Hopefully, we'll get another Hasbro Q&A soon so we can ask how to get the Decepticon University shirt that he's wearing.
Yes.
I would like one of those shirts.
The thing is, the commercial's in continuity with their other ones.
I know! They're telling this awesome little story of total dick Autobots.
And Megatron just being depressed and on the couch and just like, it. Who cares? Transforms once he's out of breath, and no, it becomes a Rocky montage, but then Bumblebee's a jerk.
I love that the Autobots are irredeemable bastards in these Creo commercials. And by the way, I love these Creo commercials. Like, these stop-motion Creo things are, like, even if the Creo toys, like, if as building block toys they were complete trash, which I don't think they are, it would have been worth it for these stop-motions.
Yeah. And Ratchet getting his cameo in.
Finally, yeah. Ratchet's debut. Being a dick.
And just trying to move over.
Meh.
Oh,
I'm actually kind of pumped. In about a week, Over the next week, I believe, some Creo sets, the big ones, are all going to be half off at Toys R Us in Canada.
Go for it, dude.
I'm kind of sitting there chewing my finger.
For half off, Prime is a good toy.
Prime, Sentinel Prime, and Starscream are all going on half off sale, and I have none of them. Kind of tempted by them.
I, for what would be half price, Optimus was good.
Sentinel looks fine, too, for half off deal. Starscream, I mean, he looks weird, but... I don't have any kind of brick jets, and I want to build a brick jet. Omegas, how are you feeling about these Creo commercials?
They are fun and amusing. I do like this strange little world where we can be sympathetic to the Decepticons and the Autobots are just complete bastards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Though, I think this one kind of proves that we definitely need more Decepticons in this series.
It's completely outnumbered.
Well, I refuse to believe that of all Decepticons that wants Megatron to get back into shape and get back on the horse, it's Starscream.
That part, though, kind of amused me because it was Starscream and he had a whistle. Also, this is called Megatron's Revenge, but I don't know if you noticed this. At no point does Megatron ever get revenge.
Well, he gets up off the couch, and for some people,
That is
a success enough.
Yeah, baby steps, baby steps.
I guess. Can you tell what the logos are on the pizza box or the little purple things around his couch? Because I can't read it.
No.
I want to believe that there are references in there, like Energon Pizza or something. I don't know. If you're out there listening and you've worked on these commercials, we really would like to talk to you about how brilliant you are. So just putting it out there.
Okay. Whatever you need. Do you need something comped?
These have been, like, I cannot think of a Creo commercial I have not enjoyed in some way.
I'm going to go YouTube, see what's the best quality I can get on this. 1080p.
Oh, jeez.
Let's get deep into this, see what everything's saying.
Omegas, I was curious, have you now that you've had Creo in your household for a much longer period of time than before... any continuing thoughts on it?
Well, I'm still happy with the Prime toy. Mm-hmm. You know, unfortunately, that's the only one I've gotten so far. Just because I enjoy Legos, but it's one of those kind of things where I have to be in the mood to build something.
Yeah.
So,
do you know what I noticed? I've been trying to buy some Legos, some Mega Blocks, and some Creo, so I can compare like three $20 blocks of, like, basically, I want to spend $20 more or less on each line. And Lego is friggin' expensive.
Yes, it is.
That stuff is stupid expensive, and I don't entirely see why.
Because it's the name.
Man, like, when
it's all imported.
And when people are coming up going like, oh, I can't believe you. You gotta know, like, Mega Blocks are trash, Creo's trash, Lego's the only way. I'm like, maybe, but I mean, I can't spend under $20 and get anything meaningful out of Lego. Like, as far as an actual brick-based kit.
Okay, got the 1080p to load of Megatron on the couch. We have Chromia's Pizza and Chase Chips.
Oh my god, Chase Chips?
And all the drinks are inner gulps.
I knew it! I knew there'd be something in there! Oh! I love these guys.
Seriously, if this animator or this director is in here, come on. We have YouTube channels. We will pimp you.
I knew there'd be something in there. That's fantastic.
I can't see a good label on. He's got like some smaller pill bottles or something laying around too.
Oh god, he's been taken.
I couldn't see a logo on or anything.
He's been popping, and the puff on him is the after effect, I'm sure. You know how crazy hard it would be to actually get that stuff onto the Creo Megatron toy?
Yeah.
Like those clothes. There must just be an armature or something under there.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, Creo is so delightful and unhateful. I love it. Anyway, Omegas, what is a new picture you'd like to pick out?
Can't remind me when the Odd Team recorded, because
they recorded on 15th.
Okay, I've got two, but one of them I believe you were ranting on Twitter, so I'm going to go with this other one.
I think I just opened that one you're talking about in a tab.
More TFC toys sketches.
Yeah, they got Scattershot.
scattershot, and we have a hunger.
Wait, I didn't see hunger.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have hunger. I want it so bad I can taste it.
Okay, I found the thing. I did not see that hunger. That looks great. Oh, man. Anyway, yeah, that's fantastic.
It seems appropriate now.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to have any kind of Technobot without some kind of Abominus.
Man, I would, like, and guess who I don't think is going to get much love anytime soon is the Technobots and Abominus. Wasn't I just talking about Abominus before? Like, the last time these came up? Can't remember now.
Maybe.
It's the one thing I do like, and it's the one thing I like third-party groups for is, you know, this when they do stuff like this that you know Hasbro's not going to touch anytime soon.
Like, or at least we can I'll give us something that's less, like, compatible. We can accurately guess, given previous information and experience, that characters such as these are not likely to get covered anytime soon.
Right, right.
Nice legalese.
Oh man, let me tell you, I've been having to talk like an adult to so many people.
Yeah, but we've gotten exactly one Abominus and one Scattershot since the originals came out, and they were both Legends repaints for multi-packs.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So yeah, I think the chances are very low, and this is exceptionally exciting.
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, I don't think we're going to see physicals on these for a while unless these sketches are old. But like a lovingly crafted like $50-$60 hunger, unless they're going to go for making these as big as the Hercules dudes, which I'd be surprised if they do. But if they do, like, hey, guess what? $100 hunger if he's that big. Got that many moving parts, that chunky, maybe.
Yeah, the core ones will be the $100 ones. I have smaller limbs, I could see it.
Prices aside, a lovingly crafted hunger would make me pretty excited. Just make sure that the color palette is the right one. It's got to be those late 80s, like, just crazy cold colors.
Oh, yeah.
Purple and white. Yeah, I'm pumped.
Weird thing is, I have this need for Dragon Transformers, and I never got a hunger.
Yeah.
I might drop money on this faster than the Technobots, and I, you know, oh my god.
I distinctly remember a BotCon where I believe a hunger was thrown into a crowd. That's my main memory of hunger.
What happened to Fans Project?
They're probably working on something.
TFC Toys just kind of kicked into the curb as far as the top third-party company.
I think the TFC's surge is probably just due to how successful, I'm assuming, Hercules was, given the hype and given the way they've been talking about it, the way they've been... Like, if they can justify doing an add-on box for Hercules, it must have done well enough.
They're in remolds of things, which I still need to order so I can have a whole Hercules... But they're, I mean, if they're redoing production runs.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it clearly Hercules was the push TFC needed to be able to start just belting out all this design stuff. I'm hoping there's confidence behind sharing all this stuff. Because, yeah, before TFC was not quite, like, they were still one of the top companies. I don't think TFC was ever really lower tier. But this has definitely had them take a lot of the spotlight in that realm of collectibles. I guess Fans Project is just, they're biding their time and working on what they got. They still got the Heartmaster or whatever.
I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah. I think that's the last thing we saw from Fans Project specifically.
We saw they were going to do
more.
And
that was BotCon last year, right?
Hmm.
Yeah, they got other things on the back burner. I mean, we had, what, the Arctic themed?
Oh, yeah, the Arctic Combiner. There was
the Arctic Combiner. We had the other Warbots.
The Warbot Junkion as well. Which I can't remember actually if it was specifically a Warbot, but it was. I remember it was done in a similar style.
It was. Yeah, it was like, man, it was him and Broadside.
Yeah.
And they were both like Warbot something instead of Defender.
Yeah, and the Junkion looking one, I know it got, I mean, we saw it. It got pretty far into development. I suspect Reveal the Shield Rekgar caused it to get put on the back burner.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But
that's a real easy way to have Hasbro go after you.
Yeah.
Well, that's the, you know, that's what I've always said I like about a third party company is if they're working on something and they see it that something official's come out to just sit right on it, they'll go like, all right, well, I guess let's work on something that is going to be more unique. Like imagination. That's what I like seeing in third party. Imagination or solid dedication to craft, you know?
I just have to ask, when you said imagination, did you at least do the finger pointing up? Imagination!
I actually had my hands on my desk when I said it. I was not visually dynamic when I said imagination. My apologies to everyone out there.
How dare you not be visually dynamic whilst on a vocal medium?
Well, just to follow up, just to take Aaron's day and just ruin it, did I tell you I had a filet mignon medium well the other day?
You don't start a fight.
We'll talk about this and what we got this week. All right, I'll give you.
You got a burnt steak, is what you got?
No. We'll talk about this and what we got this week. Look, I'm gonna go to my what I got list right now. All right, I'm gonna go
at
on the bottom.
Burnt steak,
medium well filet mignon. Will talk about it. There, I've added it to my list. Now we can do this properly, like gentlemen. So stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. That was our preview. It'll come up again.
We shall see you for fisticuffs.
Anyway, moving on from there, I think I am going to talk about exactly what Omegas thinks I'm going to talk about. I'm going to link it in here just in case you need to see it. We got a reveal from Prime Cyberverse. Now, you know the Optimus Maximus battlesuit base thing, right? Where it's kind of like a base former that turns into a large mechanoid battlesuit for Optimus Prime, which I think is a great idea because it's so crazy. And the way it's delivered with basically Optimus literally able to sit down and like almost combine into the chest as a cockpit. At the smaller price point, the one that the Energon Driller and Wheeljack Spaceship are releasing at, they're going to do the Bumblebee Battlesuit, which is a much more boring name. I am kind of disappointed by that. It's another thing where it appears to be some kind of base suit? Vehicle thing that turns into a large, yes, character-themed battlesuit. This one comes with a Bumblebee figure, which I kind of wish it didn't, because that's sort of pointless. I mean, it's Bumblebee. You know, Optimus and Bumblebee have both done it. I hope this is the start of a trend. I want to see more character-themed battlesuits that turn into bases coming out of Cyberverse, because I think that if that's how we're going to get bases, that's a great way to do it, because it's crazy. It fits that there's tiny robots that can ride these things.
See, like a Ratchet medbay?
That would be cool. I had a specific one where I actually got a piece of artwork over Twitter, and I'm going to go look for it. Because I was like, if you're going to do one more of these, right, then it should be Knockout, and his battlesuit should just be like a giant, like, effigy of his face with, like, legs on it. And then I got this piece of art from @MazzleB on Twitter, MazzleBee.
Double what now?
MazzleBee.
One of them weird Canadian things.
Weird Canadian things like having a properly cooked steak?
Yeah. See, MazzleDZEDLE.
Look at the picture that I shared. Look at the picture.
Oh.
It's in the link. Would you not want to buy that?
Perhaps.
I would buy that. It's like basically, it's a giant.
It's a really cheap Gurren.
Yeah, it's a giant Knockout head with no pupils and a square open mouth with wheels attached to the side and like a stick on the top to drive it. I want to see Cyberverse do this kind of crazy stuff. If it's gonna give Bumblebee a battlesuit, they'd better go all out and take it a step farther. But I like the idea of the battlesuits. I know a lot of people don't, and that's totally sane. But I think that it is super fun. So I hope we see more. It's just the fact that they transform as well. That is the part that I like. Because that way it's like, hey, here's our big artillery vehicle. I'm going to get into it to be ambulatory. Whoa! It feels good. Are either of you guys quite as into the new Prime Cyberverse as I am? Because I am really digging the new Prime Cyberverse, I should probably add.
I have all of them that are out so far, so probably.
Hmm.
I am digging on the Cyberverse line. I just can't find any of it.
Well, are you guys ready to purchase the Bumblebee battle suit?
I'm not sure how crazy I'm going to go with the bases, but it will definitely get a solid eyeball at some point.
Shake you.
Mm. I will come to the defense. I am actually finding myself more interested in this than I am some of the static bases.
Oh, yeah, because it's a friggin' mech suit for a robot that turns into a car. It's levels of it going on here.
Yeah, I want to see this go to just, like, crazy force. Like, there's part of me that I kind of want to see RC get her own. And instead of just turning into a giant mech suit, it turns into an actual size RC. And they just plug the vehicle RC into her as a leg.
What if
it's actually in proportion to the show?
What if they make one for each of the main cast members? So RC and Ratchet and Bulkhead all get their own mech suits. And then they combine into a much larger mech suit.
Silly. They form power armor for Optimus Maximus.
No, they combine with them like the old GoBots power suits did. And then you get Autobot Maximus.
Ugh.
You know what I'm talking about.
I mean... Oh, yeah.
I liked how that drew an actual audible ugh out of you. That was fantastic. Anyway, I am happy to see Cyberverse reaching out in all kinds of directions. That's what it needs to do, I think. It needs to do that, and it needs its Legion figures to get on par with Legion Cliffjumper. And then we'll be all good. That concludes our new Pick Picks section. I didn't really see any other news I really wanted to talk about this week. I'm going to be honest. So I wanted to do a listener voicemail instead. Guys cool with that?
Ooh.
Yeah.
This voicemail comes to us from, according to the title of the thing here, it says it comes to us from Save Dragon. Sent in on my birthday, actually. August 25th of 2011. So that's kind of cool. I'm going to set this thing up, twist this dial here, and here comes the voicemail.
Good day, guys. I have two questions for you. This is Savage Dragon. And question number one is, when I went to BotCon 2010, I was actually sorely disappointed when I noticed that the Optimus Prime, amongst the other characters, when he was being inducted into the Hall of Fame, it included every Optimus Prime. I don't know about you guys, but I don't consider G1 animated or movie Optimus Prime to be the same at all. I mean, to me, I think it should be on a prime-by-prime basis, as well as the other characters, Ratchet and so on and so forth. I don't know what your opinion is on that. Also, on a side note, I was kind of disappointed that 2011, being the 15th anniversary of Beast Wars, wasn't an all-Beast Wars Hall of Fame. Question number two is, what technology from other toy lines would you like to see incorporated into Transformers? I personally would love to see a Voyager-sized Prime Soundwave that uses that same Tron technology so you can see his face changing as he plays clips from the show. So if there's any of those, anything that you guys can think of, I would love to hear that. All right? Thank you very much. Click!
Good man. That was clearly Savage Dragon, not Save Dragon. Interesting couple questions to bring up, especially given the bios provided for the Hall of Fame this year. Regardless of our opinions on it, clearly it is not only about everyone who has been called the character, but apparently it's the new fusion character who is all the cool stuff from every past version of the character. We already had our laughs reading the RC and Wheeljack bios on the Hall of Fame. Because they're insane. and then simultaneously, Beast Wars Megatron is getting his own little dealie. Because, I mean, he is clearly a different character. But just the whole way it's done is kind of like, I think, whatever is most convenient. And whatever is kind of like, whoever's sitting there doing it, it's like, well, what makes sense to me? Let's do this. Personally, I don't mind that. You know, when Optimus Prime is inducted, it is all of the Optimus Primes. I can see where it comes from in the way that there are a lot of characters who are very similar to each other when you look at cartoon to comic book, et cetera, et cetera. I just find it odd when they are outright merging bio information like in RC and Wheeljack. It's kind of crazy to read. But it's not something that really bugs me, because at the end of the day, I don't really care what cartoon characters get in the Hall of Fame, because they aren't living people being recognized for achievements. So it's a fun and goofy thing, no matter how I look at it.
Yeah, it is kind of rough when you're dealing with characters that are different from one incarnation to the other, like RC is, because the Prime RC is nothing like G1 RC, sort of being a girl and being a Transformer.
Mm-hmm.
Especially adding in the Great Aunt RC, which I still think in Beast Wars was just an exclamation.
No, like going, it is now part of her Hall of Fame bio.
But yeah, now for some reason it's canon and
remember fun. When she changed from pink to blue?
Yeah, no.
That was a good episode. As for the Beast Wars point, I think that the 15th anniversary of Beast Wars did get passed over with a kind of surprising lack of recognition. Mm-hmm. That was kind of a bummer. I'm certainly not quite as worked up about it as some other folks, but I don't think it should have been like an all Beast Wars Hall of Fame thing, but I definitely think there should have been, even if it wasn't a character recognition, I think there should have been something said like, by the way, happy 15 years to Beast Wars. Like that would have been a nice thing to throw in there, much like RID's anniversary, which kind of came and went as well. I'm not saying, like, especially now that we're entering the period when Transformers started to be on television, like, annually, I'm not saying, like, yeah, I want yearly 10-year recognitions or something like that, but just a nod, I think, is nice for things that came out of nowhere. I mean, Beast Wars and RID both popped up after long absences, or not even long in the case of RID, but from absences on television. They both kicked off things, so, I don't know. Omegas, how do you feel about the idea of a Beast Wars all Hall of Fame deal?
Honestly, I don't think you could fill an entire year of the Hall of Fame out of Beast Wars characters. I mean, if only because there's just so many others that deserve it more. Like, you know, okay, you could make a case for, okay, well, we've already got, you know, Waspinator and Dinobot in there. You know, okay, Beast Wars Megatron, yeah. You know, he's probably making it in this year. You know, you could make a case for Primal. You could make a case for Black Arachnia.
I'd argue that something different happened, which is that Beast Wars characters are probably going to be put in once every year for the next forever long that this goes on.
Primal will be next, Black Arachnia after that. Honestly, I don't think you need to do that so much, but as long as they're going to be there, you know, maybe Gary Chalk and David Kaye should have been inducted this year.
Mm-hmm. I was kind of just, I don't know. I think if you're going to have those two at a convention, that would also, maybe they will, that would be a great time to at least say, by the way, the 15th anniversary of Beast Wars recently happened, and we'd like to celebrate by going, bah. And having them come up and say something or
mm-hmm.
have a cosplayer jump out of a cake or something like that.
Well, I mean, nothing against this year's inductees, but, you know, to put it mildly, I don't think Chris Lott is going anywhere. I think you could induct him pretty much anytime you need to.
We actually said this last week. You guys haven't heard it yet, but I think Chris Latta should have been a year one induction outside of the regular inductees. Like that.
Yeah. Well,
Chris Latta should have already been in the Hall of Fame.
Right. Well, Peter Cullen was at a first year too, right?
Yeah.
So why not? It's,
there's no reason not to have put him in the first year, I think. Especially doing these posthumous ones, it feels really weird for a posthumous thing to happen on the third year to me
mm-hmm.
when I do not see why, like, I don't think there have been any real hard limits so far on who's put in there in terms of the real life people. It just feels weird. Like, it feels weird to 3 years and go like, and we're going to like, what if 2 years from now on the fifth one, they put in Scatman Crothers. It's going to feel weird then, I think, as well.
His body of work has finally matured enough to appreciate.
Yeah.
I say, I don't mean anything against that. Like, yeah, of course, like, yeah, I would agree on Chris Lott. I mean, put him in there immediately. But it's one of those you could do any time. You know, he's right. As long as it's the 15th anniversary of Beast Wars, you know, why not? You know, why not David and Gary?
Mm-hmm. Maybe they will. Maybe it'll be something they announce at the show. It would be incredibly strange to me to not. I mean, granted, I say this, but Scott McNeil didn't really get anything when he was physically there either, right?
Yeah.
Then again, like you said, this is a crossover time of like we're just coming off of the 15th anniversary, and we're a lot of things are synchronizing nicely, and Beast Wars fans are pretty rabid, and they would probably be very much endeared by such an action. But
the slap in the face is if they have Gary Chalk and David Kaye there, and they celebrate the 10-year anniversary of Transformers Armada.
That would be pretty funny.
Yeah.
And then induct Transformers Armada into the Hall of Fame.
Induct Neil Kaplan for his good work on Optimus Prime.
When he's not there and Gary Chalk and David Kaye are sitting right there, induct Neil Kaplan. And then whoever runs the Hall of Fame turns out is completely unaware of who's actually there every given year.
Optimus Primes over there.
Here? Oh.
We have voice actors here? No one told me that last year. The Hall of Fame thing is it's odd. The real life inductee thing, though, I find a million times more important than the cartoon character inductees. So I think it's funny, but I'm not like upset or anything when they do weird stuff with the cartoon characters inducted. Like the mixed bios, I think, are hilarious. And Skybyte's character art being the BotCon Skybyte repaint rather than the one that actually has the body of media behind him.
Yeah,
is also really funny. Anyway.
That is the most recent toy out.
Yeah, technically, yeah. Savage Dragon asked what kind of technology we'd like to see worked into Transformers that's in another toy line, but not Transformers. He stole my answer, because I think that the Tron face projection gimmick was astoundingly cool. I think it was a really good gimmick in an otherwise pretty forgettable line, and it's kind of a bummer, because I think it deserved a bit more attention than it got. It was just, you know, projecting pictures from inside a toy, but it did it in a really cool way that I would actually like to see done on Transformers somehow. I think, like, if it could be figured out how to work that in, even just to have stuff like moving irises in the eyes or something like that.
Well, it'd require, with the way those Tron toys were built, to have a head and part of chest for where those things sit to be one solid unit, but you could maybe do that with a flip around bit. It'd be possible. You'd have to work around it.
Yeah.
But the way you'd probably have to do it would be like it'd have to be like a larger sound wave in order to fit the electronics into
Voyager,
it.
Voyager for sure.
Yeah. Didn't he say Voyager sized anyway?
Yeah.
Those Tron you'd toys, I believe, were like 6 or 7 inches tall.
Yeah.
And the fact bigger. That they fit that into just the torso and the head is why I think it is a realistic thing to work into a Transformer.
Yeah. I think the easiest way you could do it would just be have some kind of little, like a little like plastic drum in there with the waveform across it and an LED in the middle to shine it through his face.
Mm-hmm.
But the Tron gimmick is the one I'd like to see actually on Transformers. Aaron, any non-Transformers toy gimmicks you can think of you'd like to see?
The one that popped to mind first would be something like the... I forget what they called it. The Star Wars figures, was it Episode 1 where they had the Jedi communicator?
Oh, that's kind of like...
the toys came with a microchip. That's kind of like
Skylanders. Kind of like Skylanders.
Skylanders a little bit, yeah. RFID tech thing, maybe to go along with the bases or, you know, something similar to that. Or if you get two of the RFID guys next to each other, they'll maybe have a unique conversation or something kick up. I think that there would be a whole lot of different things that you could do with that. Or... even wrap that up with the old Armada base tech and
I want to see that come back. That was a cool gimmick.
Yeah.
It set the occasional house on fire, but...
Aside from the fact that there are no confirmed
houses that burnt down. Are confirmed scorched carpets.
Yeah.
Aside from
the fact that the toy may burst into flames, it was a really cool gimmick. In fact, I dare say bursting into flames made it a cooler gimmick because that's pretty metal.
The only reason I haven't reviewed that toy is because I have too much flammable stuff in my room.
Just lay down some, you know, some tarps.
Just be like me, have a fire extinguisher on each floor of your house.
Yeah.
It's probably not a bad thing to have anyway.
Exactly.
I'm in Florida. There are no other floors.
Well, then you only need one.
Yeah.
It's easy. You should have one in the kitchen anyway.
We do.
Well, then there you go. No problems.
Why are we talking like this?
I don't know. You guys started doing it yourself. I was just checking this thing over here. Omegas, what non-Transformers gimmick would you like to see in Transformers?
Probably Mugen Bein.
Oh, like the universal...
Yeah, the universal peg and socket joints.
Oh, I would like to see that, actually.
That's... Yeah, yeah, it's something that... It wouldn't be quite as tedious as a Creo set would be. You're not sitting there for 3 hours building Optimus himself.
And you're meaning like full click lock-in points rather than the... Like kind of an extension, maybe, of the 3mm or the 5mm hole?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that way you get your custom robots, you get your custom vehicles, you can build them any way, you can combine them any way you want.
Yeah.
And then they're still easy, then all the parts are distinct, so you can still pull them apart and put them back together without having to read through instructions.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that would be pretty cool. Even just having, like, universal accessory sets that, like, and like I said, like, beyond just you can plug any weapon into this same size peg hole, but, like, full-on... chunks of robot, or you could totally like BS your way through some combiners with that kind of thing too. Transformers actually stole one of my answers, I should probably mention, because another gimmick I thought would always be really cool to see in Transformers is a more fun kind of pocket-sized flip-former like Bakugans, and then friggin' Botshots happened, and I was like, oh, that's basically what I meant. Okay. That was all the questions he had, right?
I think so.
Okay. We also have a written listener question. Thank you for your voicemail, though, Monsieur Savage Dragon. We have a listener question from Dingus343, who says, quote, to the kings of awesome, if you were doing a Beat Wars, Beaties, Beast Machines-themed Botcom set in the vein of animated Cheetor, which line would you set it in? Animated Prime, Generations, and so on. What molds would you use and for which characters? Who would be the troop builder? Do you think this could even happen? Try not to all use the same line. Love your work on YouTube, TJ and Vangelis. P.S. I think Prime... Yeah, that's right. Do a better YouTube job, Aaron. I think Prime Skyquake is a good silhouette for Depth Charge. Smiley face. So going to, you know, starting up a new convention called Botcom, and you're going to do a themed set of characters from the Beast era, but set in a different line. Personally, I just want to continue what Cheetor started and just do some more of the animated ones. I think that could work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've all now picked the same one.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, the rough thing is it's doing the kind of, you know, that they've already done that, and then they also did have with the pre-Beast Wars set, you could do, you know, kind of fuse the two ideas together and come up with a little bit of work.
Yeah.
You could come up with a box set. I don't know if you'd be able to come up with a whole convention set with the box set plus whatever additional...
Well, the problem with specifically Generations, that to me implies stuff like Classics, Universe, Dinobot, and Cheetor, is that you'd need new molds for those, whereas if we're going to just do redecos, Animated, or even, I think Animated or Prime would both work really well for doing Beast Wars-themed characters. They've got a lot of live lines.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah. We have had a Bantor reference already for Prime, so...
Oh, yeah. Oh, that made my day. I think you could probably get away with it best for Animated, just because there is enough character in those molds that you can adapt them pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
And you do get the shortcut of having Black Arachne and Waspinator in the series already.
Absolutely. And last year proved that you can do new head sculpts for Animated toys and just completely change their identities.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Derek would have kittens if he knew that we would do this.
I'm pretty sure he's already drawn mugshots for like half the Beast Wars cast.
Yeah. Just in his personal portfolio.
Well, technically, we've already gotten like Rattletrap.
Yeah, I mean Rattletrap
was
in the show.
And we got Cheetor, of course.
Yeah.
Like, there's other ones you could do. Like, there's part of me that wants to, that really wants Rattrap. Like, I know he's based on, he's based on Cybertron Ransack more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
But part of me wants to make him into Bumblebee, if only so we could use the Hydra Dive mold, and that's his little sub pod from season 3.
Yeah,
that'd be kind of cool. And we could even just reuse Cheetor and just redeco him in a darker scheme as Night / animated Cheetor. Boom.
Or the better one to be more characters would be the make him Tigatron and maybe beef out the face. Or...
That's just ludicrous.
Yeah, I know.
You're just crazy.
Crazy talk.
Someone tell Derek to start just drawing animated Beast Wars characters. let's roll with this. Yeah. Who would be regardless of what line this takes place in, who would be a Beast Wars troop builder? Like, the only ones I can think of would be like, if you work off of some of the insect guys, like maybe Tarantulas drones or something like that, like those little spider drones he would send Like, what if you took animated Black Arachnia, right, or hypothetically Prime Arachnid, and then gave her like a drone style faceplate, and those are like the mindless drones of Tarantulas. Like, except in this continuity, he's a Playa, so he makes all his drones into lady robots because he totally can't get any.
That way he's always rolling.
Yeah, that's right. But they all have they all have face plates, and like their optics are just one narrow line down the front of their face.
Well, how are they going to do anything without a mouth?
They have hands. What? Huh. I don't know what you're talking about.
There's an easy answer to this.
What is it?
And it's called Beast Wars 2 Thrustor, who you could pass off easily as the Cyber Raptors.
I suppose, yeah. If we could, yeah. Well, then wait. We have to make it look animated.
Well, you said any line.
Oh, I guess, yeah.
I'm just saying there are shortcuts here. I could say the same for Generations and the new Dinobot mold.
So what? Yeah, I guess. If we were to run with animated, what do you think? Like, I guess the troop builder idea would be mine because it'd be lady robots, or like a swarm of wasp repaints is like.
If you could import the Virulent clones.
Virulent clones out of Wasp. And give credit to the idea that everyone except me hates. I think I'm the only person who really enjoyed the Virulent clones from 05. By the way, do any of us think this could even happen? Maybe.
No.
Not anytime soon.
No.
But...
Well, if we actually want to talk the logistics of it, I bet the animated molds are probably available, but at this point, they're probably buried in factory.
Also...
Or whatever that kind of times them out at the end.
It's going to be 5 years till the perfect time for this to happen again.
That's true. And you really do want a little bit more space, because they have done this concept already.
Yeah, in 06. It's been only 6 years. Not even 6 years yet. We're still in early... Right, we are still in early 2012, right? Like, I didn't miss the year.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like 82 degrees outside in Indiana, and so the body says we're getting into May or June.
Sorry, we're not. We're actually much closer than that. Thank you for your questions, Dingus343. We also have a written or listener question right in from Movie God Optimus. Who asks a series of questions. Question A. After being hit with the hate plague, the following Transformers, big list of names, fight somewhere. Who will emerge victorious? I don't care who wins the fight, because there's no reason. Hate plague is like... That's like Star Trek episode of the week stuff. That's going all like, okay, you want a reason for them to fight. Magic space virus. Now they're fighting. No, I don't buy it. That's not good enough.
I'm surprised you skipped that whole list of names.
I don't want to read all that. You want to read it? But if you want to read
name
it,
is no, in
your
there.
Name is in there.
Yeah, I still don't want to read all that.
Oh, okay.
My name's at the end.
Yeah, well, at least your name is halfway spelled right.
Would you like to read the list of names?
No.
Well,
It's two A's and an R, people. It's not that hard. It's like the fourth time I've seen it on the boards this week.
Okay, so your name is in the list. Aaron's name is in the list. So I'm going to pretend to be Owen Citizen for now.
That's actually me. Long story. Long story.
You're in there twice and you didn't read it.
Because there's all this other stuff in front. I don't want to read all the other stuff. Why would Iron Fist from Last Stand of the Wreckers even be getting in a fight?
He's got nothing to lose with the bullet in his brain.
He already lost everything with the bullet. Yeah. Spoilers.
See, it doesn't matter because he put Prime Soundwave at the end, so you know he's going to win anyway.
I guess. And why would you put both Overlords in? Like, Last Stand of the Wreckers Overlord would just, like, do a boob grab on the Master Force one, and then bam. You're
just purple nurple?
Yeah. Blood spraying everywhere.
Oh, you can't do anything now.
Yeah. Zone Predaking. Jobber. Anyway, who would win that fight?
No one. It would end with the simultaneous punch and then fade to black.
How very anime of you. Omegas, who would win that fight?
No, Aaron's nailed it. This is a Rocky III ending.
Oh, wow.
Still shot just before the punches hit. Go to the art mosaic.
I guess moving on from there. Question B. There is no question B. What's your answer, Omegas?
7.
Aaron?
9. It's got to be 9.
You're both wrong. There is no question B. That is the answer. Question C. What is Optimus Prime's capital O obsession with making new computers into, well, ellipses, girls, i.e. the Go-Go Teletrans and I-Chan? That's just basic, like, sci-fi law, that whenever you make some kind of visually represented artificial intelligence, it's also got to be a lady.
I mean, Edie.
Yeah, or Cortana, or...
Any computer on Star Trek.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They're all... What's her name? Roddenberry. I forgot her first name.
Her name was never Roddenberry.
Oh, what was it?
Majel Barrett.
Sorry, yeah. And then it became Barrett Roddenberry
when she was trying to sell all of Gene's old stuff after he died.
Yeah, exactly. I was trying to get you to say that.
Are we starting another fight here?
Jeez,
no, we're gonna talk about the steak later on in the show. I heard you hit your desk. We're gonna talk about the steak later on in the show. All right. Omegas, what are your thoughts on female computers?
I don't know, isn't it a male tendency in the first place just to name your favorite machines female?
Yeah.
If you get a new Corvette parking the way, isn't she a beauty?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, your favorite machine is female.
Yeah.
My PlayStation 2 used to be female, you know, and then my computer got better.
This guy I saw on Strange Addictions, thanks to Crasis, who is actually in love with his car so much, he makes out with it physically. Like, he drives it to parking lots or onto hilltops, and then, like, gets out, and then just, like, starts having it with the hood and stuff, and then he gets underneath it, and starts, like, getting it on with the bumper, and apparently...
Oh, no!
Apparently hope he does it right after he runs it along the interstate for a couple hours, gets up there, and...
Well, that's the question, is people
then
were
that
like...
can be well done.
People were like, what happens
resisting
when he starts using the
tailpipe? Joke.
Yeah.
Ah.
And apparently he has somehow actually achieved full-on intercourse with his car, but I haven't found the full episode. I only saw the clip that Crasis, like, recorded with his phone, so I still need to see that episode. But just to give an extension there, there is at least one gentleman out there, probably more, who have actually had... sex with their cars. So I think that answers
Saturday
this question.
Saturday Night Live sketch.
Maybe. By the way, another great computer lady was Shodan in System Shock 2. Hottest video game lady ever to be created in the medium. So
we ever mention GLaDOS? Because we're going to get comments if we don't mention GLaDOS.
Everyone always says, what about GLaDOS? And I'm like, that is Shodan's, like, dorky friend who's okay if you can't get Shodan, but I'd rather aim for the gold. Moving on to question D, JW. Ho, ho, ho. O and DJW answered this question on Formspring, where he was apparently asked the question, I'm not an exhibitionist, and then replied with a picture of the eye in the Hot Springs figurine from back in the day. Movie God Optimus says, thoughts also should it transform. That is a toy that actually exists. So,
yes, I have one, and it sits underneath my Godfire or is it Godfire, the combined mode?
With God with, Magnus?
Yeah, with God Magnus.
Yeah, that's Godfire Convoy.
Yeah.
We need another God Magnus. That's what we need. Yeah. Like, that was a good name. Omegas, do you have thoughts on the I-Chan Hot Springs figure?
Only the ones that make me shake my head, as they have done for the last 10 years.
Apparently, Neil Kaplan has been shown that figure a couple times.
I'm not surprised. Mm-hmm.
I remember back when that first came out, and it was big news. And then every 5 years, it becomes big news again for somebody. Yeah. It's great.
And it does transform into a pile of parts.
Yep. You can rip it to pieces. That's getting kind of kiss play crazy. But question E. Finally, of all the characters that I will list that had subpar, crap, or creepy products, which should get the chance first? Nightbeat, Thunderclash, I-Chan, Double Clutch, or Hotshot? Also, if the others don't get any, we always have third party. That we do, Movie God Optimus. So I'm guessing, I'm not gonna tell you what I'm guessing. Who should get the capital C chance first, Aaron?
Let's go for Nightbeat.
Chance at what is my next question?
A new toy.
Oh, okay.
Talking about third party?
I didn't want to tell you any of my own assumptions based on the wording of the question.
Well, you know what happens when you assume? You make an ass out of yourself.
Wait a second. You changed. It's you and me. You can't cut yourself out of this ass equation.
You have not watched Slam and Salmon then, have you?
Nope.
You should go watch Slam and Salmon. And then you'll understand.
Okay. Omegas, who should get the chance?
I want to know what this obsession with I-Chan is.
Well, she's naked in a figure that he linked to before. So, I mean, if you're going to put two and two together.
Yes, and it's creepy.
Well, he said subpar, crap, or creepy products in this very question.
That's the toy I point to when people tell me the Kiss Players is creepy. Uh-uh, gotcha beat by a few years.
Yeah. Well, Kiss Players, sadly, are not in this list. So, who should get the chance?
Well, Hotshot had his chance, and he failed.
He did, and he's getting another chance already.
Well, it's based on the Cybertron one, so that one slides.
Yeah.
And I still defend the Universe 2 one. That's still not nearly as bad as people give it black for. I'm with Aaron. Nightbeat gets the chance.
I think
except my chance is a spot on Prime.
I think Thunderclash. Wait a second. Which one's Thunder? Is Thunderclash the boat, or am I thinking of a different one?
Is that
Thunder Blast?
No, Thunderclash was Machine Wars.
Yeah, the boat. Prime. The boat was Thunder Blast, right?
Sure.
Then I changed my answer. I mean, Nightbeat is the most obvious one, which I'm guessing why it was listed first. I would like to see a Gutokuru I-Chan to go with the Minerva and Jinrai and possibly Buster and Hydra that they're doing. That could reach out to several different collector communities by being a police lady in a miniskirt.
Now, do you make a translucent variant?
Of course you do.
Yeah. It's going to be some sort of construct.
Do you make a naked variant?
Of course you do. These all have precedent set.
Yeah.
You got to make sure you're covering every aspect of the character's mythology.
We also need... So, basically, that also needs to come with a free Spy Changer Optimus.
Yeah. Or sculpt a new Optimus. Like how they're doing a new Power Master Optimus Prime's Power Master guy head, IQ. Make a new part for the Super Fire Convoy.
Comes with the hot tub.
Well, that's just how they could release the Robot Heroes figure we never got.
That's true.
He's already got the proportions for it.
Exactly. Yes. It's obvious now that I-Chan should be made in the Gutokuru line. Like it's so obvious, I'm not even going to press the point anymore. Because we also have one more question. F, he fooled you. Now then, should Nightbeat, Hosehead, Siren, I Chen, Grimlock, and the Last End of the Wreckers Overlord star in a sitcom? No. Aaron, what's your answer?
No.
Omegas, what's your answer?
No, but only because you didn't put in Sunstorm as the wacky neighbor.
Yeah. Sorry, but you... The world of show business is a real tough place. And if you're not going to give us a good pitch, we have hundreds of other pitches we have to look at in this office. And the thing I learned, man, if you're going to give a pitch, it's got to be solid right away. 10 seconds, you got to hook us in, or we're gonna weigh your script and figure out if there's too much pitch or too little pitch in that paper. Anyway, he goes on to say, thank you for answering, Legion of the Van Castians. Does it mean I can call you Aaron Van Castian and TJ Van Castian?
No, just Legion.
Oh. And what can I...
That makes you a Cyberverse commander.
I want to be a commander. Oh, man. Anyway, that is our listener question segment. We're going to take a quick break. A little bit early, I know. But we all got stuff this week, and we're going to talk about it. And also, we're going to talk about steak. So get ready for it. I'm going to roll my sleeves up, and we'll be back right after this.
Hey, Mr. Potato Head!
What do you got for us?
Two new Mr. Potato Head toys.
Donald Duck! Full of the clowns!
Each with Mr. Potato Head. Take all the parts and put them together.
Where do the noses go?
Where noses belong.
Forget Bodo.
Donald's almost Donald.
Shake him out.
Mr. Potato Head, where's your other ear?
It's over here. Mr. Potato Head Toys from Hasbro.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. I'm so cereal, I'm making a killing.
You might have got a reaction if you hadn't done that joke just 5 seconds ago.
I don't know what you're talking about. 5 seconds ago, I said, let's go into the intermission. We don't pause.
There would have at least been an intermission piece in there, unless you're editing very poorly.
I don't know what you're talking about. Who edit? What's editing? I just record podcasts.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, we're learning this.
Let's talk about what we got this week. I got two things this week that are on topic. Number one, I got my Last Stand of the Wreckers hardcover.
Yay!
That is a really good hardcover. I was actually not expecting there to be that much stuff crammed in the back. Like, it feels like almost half the book is extra material.
Yeah.
Like, it's really good. I highly recommend it. Even if you already have the comics, get a version of the hardcover. It's not that expensive, and it is a really well-assembled graphic novel. Whatever praise Aaron was giving it before is completely true. Not to imply that he would have possibly been giving false praise about a comic book that... is several years old now, but nonetheless. I really liked some of the alternate scene scripts that were in there, too.
Yeah.
There was some cool stuff. Like Overlord having a penal dysfunction. Penal, P-E-N-A-L, because it's...
Yes,
penal.
That's... Yeah. In regards to being in a... No.
Wreckers combine!
Yeah.
That was a good comic. If you haven't read Last End of the Wreckers, then please pick up the hardcover. It's the best edition you can get, and it smells really good when you open it. New comic smells just glorious. I also, big spoiler, I'm on my spring break right now. I have had this whole week off from school. So on Friday, after our last class, me and a bunch of classmates, we all went out to the pub and had a couple pints of beer. And I got, I was a little bit buzzed. I was like, ooh, beer. So yeah, I came home, and I was also on like 3 hours of sleep, so I came home, sat down, and I like passed out in bed for like 8 minutes, and then snapped awake, still completely buzzed, and was like, I should go to Toys R Us, because there's a sale going on. So I went over to Toys R Us, and I could find nothing, except that deluxes were $10 off. And so I was like, I should get Prid Bumblebee. And so I grabbed a Prid Bumblebee, and I wandered halfway down the store and then stopped and turned, and I was like... I've always been meaning to buy Lego sets and Creo sets and Mega Block sets so I can compare them all, and it's all I should go get something. So I went to the Mega Bloks aisle, and I saw the Halo Banshee was only like $13. So I was like, I should get this. And then they had this one pack of, like, you get a Halo man, like a little minifigure, and a bunch of weapons, and it was like $5. And I was like, I should get this too to go with my Banshee. And then I walked up to the counter and paid for all of it the whole time in my head, literally saying, I'm doing this so I can make videos to help people. And then I got home and just started playing Mass Effect 3 multiplayer. And then about 2 hours later, realized I had a Toys R Us bag next to me and was like, oh, I did buy all that. So I got Prid Bumblebee for $10 and totally shouldn't have, because he's a perfectly fine little, what's the word I had for him? A curiosity of a toy, I think. Not as obscenely bad as many people have implied. I found him kind of endearing. He's very fun to transform, especially once you realize the thing that Piaw first pointed out, as far as I can tell, he was the first one, which is that the head, the part that has the head attached, that big yellow platform, it's friction attached to the gear shift mechanism, but not actually gear attached. So all you have to do is raise it a little bit, like maybe 90 degrees tops, before you flip the arms out to engage the automorph. And it folds down a lot more flush. And I was like, yeah, you know, it's interesting how fun this toy is to transform. A lot of problems with it. Like, the shoulders are angled inwards, and the whole proportions of the chest looks really weird. Although it surprisingly has a pretty decent stance once you realize where all its body parts are. The main problem is that it's another Bumblebee, and I think all these qualities will be better interpreted on Hotshot. So don't get Prid Bumblebee, because there's a better version coming. Don't do what I did and think just because it's $10, you should probably grab this one too. That was a very stupid thing to do. But it is actually a pretty cool basic toy. It's got all kinds of things with it that make it completely not recommendable to like 99% of the kind of people who would listen to a Transformers fan podcast.
Ask, is this because of the FE ones that are out there? Or do you think, had first edition not come out, would this be an acceptable toy?
Had that come out without the first edition ones, I would still be saying, why does Bumblebee have weird inward-facing shoulders? Which is also a problem I've had with the first edition one, the orientation of his shoulders. And also, why does he have this platform under his head with a huge spike behind his head? Like, there's still things about it that would have had me bugged if it was the only one to come out, I think. But the thing is that I think if the first edition one hadn't come out, then I would say, if you're curious about the engineering, it's not the worst thing you could buy. The engineering on it is really interesting, and it actually, I think, is it's a completely passable toy. It's not horrendously awful. It's lacking a lot of paint, but the detail is sculpted there, which helps a lot. And I find the transformation, once you figure out how the automorph works and how to correct it, It actually is kind of cool. The main problem is that it's the combination of the first edition one and Hotshot's imminent release that make me say Prid Bumblebee is probably not something you should really bother with right now. Especially in Canada, where the $10 deluxe sale is over now, but for the $10 deluxe sale, there was a wall of Prid Bumblebees facing a wall of first edition Bumblebees. And I was like, this is just ludicrous. It's great. This is even less of a reason to be buying this. That's, I guess, why I bought it. Because, you know, I talked about this last week with the Arms Micron toys. You know, I'm buying them because I'm doing, you know, I'm buying them because it's in my interests to properly cover the quality of Transformers Prime toys. And, you know, I'm getting them because, you know, it's not like I'm horribly attracted to these tiny minicons and I'm willing to spend $30 on or anything. Or it's not that I'm, you know, I have a problem. It's I'm doing it for the people. That's why I'm getting these. You know, I'm helping others. You know, if you can just believe, like I believe, then we can create something magical, ladies and gentlemen. I don't
know how much money I've spent on toys because of that philosophy.
Listen, my philosophy is Canadian. All right, my philosophy is medium well, and we'll talk about this later. whoa! I heard that. I heard that hammer drop. Anyway, that's all the Transformers I got this week. Yo, Aaron, what did you get this week?
Pull up the list. Had some training for my job that was out of town, so that allowed me to hit up a bunch of stores that I don't ever go to. And in a Target long, long way away, I found a Mech Tech Reverb. That is that red, weird helicopter motorcycle thing that was in the case of BotCon.
The impossible one.
That never really came out. And they had one there, and it was clearance priced at like $7 or so on what should have been a $10 toy. So I picked him up. And it sure is a really weird hover bike motorcycle thing. And it's kind of awesome for it and kind of weird for it. And yeah, this was somebody having fun.
I heard it's based on a real technology. Like apparently the idea behind the whole motorcycle with one VTOL fin on one side and a fin on the other is apparently has grounding somewhere in vehicular science.
Okay.
Apparently. I mean, yeah, I was saying, like, what is this? And I heard from somebody. They're like, no, it's...
Yeah,
it might not be represented the best in that toy, but there is something to it. And I was like, oh.
Yeah. Right. This is... it's like most of the... of these mech tech guys. It seems like each of the modes has a bit of sacrifice for the fact that it's a triple changer. Between the weird gun platform mode that... It seems like it's half made up for what it is and everything. But it's enjoyable and it's neat to get that last piece, especially for super cheap.
Oh, definitely.
And it comes with another little mech tech dude that looks like he's a BMX biker, but with a red eyes. I've never been sure about the drivers, but...
They have wrist swivels, so I kind of like them.
Yeah.
But... That's about it.
The problem is his hands are just a touch too small to really stay on the handlebars very well.
Yeah, yep.
And he needs to be upscaled a little bit size-wise because it just doesn't work on this motorcycle thing, like he's trying to actually ride a motorcycle thing.
It feels like all of those Human Alliance basic drivers like were cast in a plastic that shrank slightly.
Yeah. Because it's something that he should be a little bit bigger because the build of the seat and the lines make it look like a crotch rocket type of motorcycle, but he has to ride it more like a Harley Hog type of thing. It looks like something he should be tucked in tight on because this thing is going to go really fast, not something that's big and lumbering. But it's cool. I think I was more excited to actually see one in the wild and get it for myself. So
that was
cool. Where all my excitement came from on him.
I got one of those thanks to a Rhinox DX. That's how I got mine. I never saw it in stores here.
Yeah, and it doesn't surprise me. Well, it's like any other end of line toy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, retailers aren't going to order a case of something that's no longer going to get replenished and is not being supported. So then from, I've had quite a bit of Cyberverse stuff as well, as kind of said earlier in the show. I picked up for myself, at that same time that I saw that Reverb, I got a Bulkhead and Starscream in the Commander size. Starscream is very not good. His alt mode doesn't turn out well. Because of the way that he transforms, and because it's smaller, he has some weird angles with his arms that just don't work. So it's a whole lot of not very good. I would go so far as to not recommend anybody get this guy, really. If you want to have a Starscream, he's a Starscream in that price point, and that's good. I mean, to have... your Cyberverse guys, but it's because his arms are all the jet and it doesn't have any of the collapsing that the Deluxe does from first edition, it ends up with a huge, huge cockpit layout and not a whole lot of fun.
I am still going to try him out, but that's because I need to buy every Cyberverse.
Yeah. He just has a lot of things that's like, man, I wish this was just a touch different. You know, if he had one more thing here, one more thing there, it'd be better, but he doesn't.
Hmm.
He does come with two unique blasters. I think that they named the blasters, but I can't remember. I know they weren't Null Ray. As soon as I say that, though, someone will show me the packaging and say, yeah, they are. But I would have Starscream as a pass.
Mm.
Also picked up a Bulkhead. And Bulkhead, I would say, is a get.
I have heard good things about that Bulkhead.
He does a lot of things like the Voyager does of folding down and making himself very compact, only to unfold. And, you know, granted, his chest is completely hollow, but you don't need to see the chest because it's inside. So I definitely have enjoyed him a lot. And he's got a little bit of automorph kind of action because it's two parts on a pivot that move opposite, so it transforms by itself. Fun transformation on him. And then also from Gabriev 28 or Carl
Gabriev.
Gabriev. He picked up a bunch of stuff and said, hey, first come, first serve. And by the time I got around for first serve, I was second or third serve. But he still sent me free of charge the Megatron. And Megatron, I wouldn't recommend as one to get as your first hit into Cyberverse, but he makes a good follow-on, if that makes sense.
He's good if he has, like, a counterpoint.
Yeah. You know, if he's got somebody to stand against, that he's a whole lot better than by himself. His transformation, because it's smaller, it's a different transformation scheme than the other Megatrons have been, but it still is the same. I mean, it's the same end product, and so it looks further away from his alt mode model just because of that, because he doesn't have the extra flip out bits. But he comes with a cool blade, and he still has the separating chest, which really amazed me that they got that into the commander size. So a whole lot of that, and then two more Viacons. So I'm up to seven now. I think if I get eight, that's like a squad.
You now have more things called Viacon than I do, I think.
Eight total things Viacon?
Oh, no, you're on par with me now.
Okay. But I probably spent quite a bit less, haven't I?
You probably, you know what? Maybe you should have gotten those Viacons done medium well. Not time yet. I kid. I tease.
I am not pulling you two off of each other if you start getting bloody.
I tease. That's what I am. I'm a teaser. I tease.
All right. Also, thanks to Pia, during some things that were happening earlier in the week, he was out and about getting toys. And I said,
what you're talking about.
For me. And so he says, oh, well, what are you looking for? I was like, I was only slightly kidding, but I'm still looking for Ratchet and RC. He's like, all right, I've been seeing him here and there. And then shortly after that, I get Twitter messages. Hey, picked him up for you. So I have a deluxe RC and a deluxe Ratchet. And RC, again, I think it's a case due to the fact that I've got her standing next to her first edition counterpart that she looks like crap.
Aww.
Well, and it's some things that I think are style choices that I'm not fond of. First of all, her color is closer to a baby blue. It's not a baby blue, but it's definitely a lighter blue.
What I've seen is it looks like her color might be a slightly more accurate, but it's a case where the first edition color scheme just kind of looked better to me.
Yeah, I definitely feel that the first edition color scheme is better. Not only that, but she has a lot more paint on her first edition version than she does on the RID version. The transformation's about 50-50. Neither one of them is necessarily better. I think I like the first edition's arms a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not as limited. She had the RID RC really has not a whole lot of outward motion. So she can't put her arms out to the side because she has a ball joint that's into it. She can get her arms kind of out to 45, and then if you pop things around really weird and have her elbow going back behind her shoulder, it tries to pop off and you can't even do that.
Sounded like you ripped the toy in half there.
Yeah, just a little bit.
So ball joints pops back together. Yay.
She's got a nicer looking, like, aside from her backpack, she seems to have slightly nicer proportions, though, which is what surprised me.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's a case where had the first editions not existed, it definitely wouldn't be the same, I don't want to say contempt, but the same downer feeling of that one in comparison, because the first edition one is, in my opinion, superior. You got a little bit more paint. She's a little bit bigger.
Hmm.
And I just enjoy the first edition one
more. How about her crazy giant weapon?
Yeah. It has a crazy giant weapon that's giant and crazy. And it took me 15 minutes of playing with it to realize two weapons combined meant that this thing actually comes apart.
Oh.
Because it looks like she just has a rifle with a really nasty bayonet thing on it, and it took some work on it to get that her signature blades to come off. Although I did find that the blades from the first edition RC will plug onto the Robots in Disguise ones, its legs. It's the same peg size gap, like the foot pegs on the motorcycle.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Will plug on there. So I don't know if that's intentional or they just went motorcycle foot pegs and that's where they pegged before, so they'll peg again. But
for a second, you worried me because I thought you were going to say they plugged into her arms because they were already ludicrously large on the first edition.
Yeah, well, they will plug into her arms too. It just popped right in because she has a similar back of the arm peg. At least on the RID one, it's on the back side of the arm, not the underside of the arm.
Mm-hmm.
So it does look a little bit better that way. However, it's then your mismatched colors and fun. If you've got the RID, or if you've got the first edition one, the RID one is I would say a relatively easy pass.
I'm stroking my chin.
Well, I'm saying if you already have one, you don't need to pick up the second one.
But what if I need to pick up the second one so I can inform people about the differences between both? Like, you know, okay. It's not just for the people.
When I'm saying you, I mean the listeners, not you guys. You should buy five of them.
Is that you to both of us, you to him?
Yeah, however it works.
I should buy five of them, because then I can mod them to combine, and we could finally have our combining RC.
But then the hero. Then a Combs.
I think I heard a rumor that this is a part where you both could cross your opinions over and simultaneously discuss a toy.
I believe it's so. Because I also got a package from Gabriev. And I was the recipient of a deluxe ratchet.
Well, you guys should talk about deluxe ratchet.
Hey, he's ratchet and he's deluxe size. Okay.
We're pretty much done now.
Never going to finish my cereal.
No. I really like him. The only two gripes that I have is he has a little bit of the same issue that Soundwave has, I think, in that his head is so recessed that he's got a ball joint there for it, but it clacks against his neck armor, kind of. And
yeah, the high spring pop collar there.
Yeah, and the spring for his head reveal is kind of soft, so his head wants to sink down. And the fact that his fake door chest looks very fake, not just kind of fake.
Though I don't know how you could do that any better than that. Because it's such a small detail.
Yeah, I think paint apps, I think having the additional stripe of paint, the trim around the doors that he actually has in vehicle mode would probably help that look quite a bit. Because then it's taking the cues from one portion and putting it to another place. But that is something that if one were to, say, have colored Sharpies and a steady hand, they might be able to take care of themselves. But I love the way that his hand transformation fakes so that you can plug his blades into his hand, but make it look like they're extending from his arms.
The instructions show the first method is to have him wielding them like a couple of daggers, or you can do this alternate thing, which is really just tipping his wrist down and have it plug in straight to his arms. I'm like, well, duh, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, so you could either have it as he has in the show, or Ratchet could shank a Decepticon.
But
shanks and fools!
Innovative the way that he has triangle-shaped forearms so that what's a straight flat panel on alt mode can form into a tapered forearm. I don't know. Have we ever seen something quite like that before?
I almost want to... that's kind of hard to say.
I need to actually see it. I can't visualize it.
It's basically three panels folding together to form a coherent forearm. Though it is angled strangely to get, you know, this more of a narrowing shape to his forearm rather than just being one solid block.
Yeah.
You know, like they've transformed arms like this before, you know, movie Jazz and the recent Cliff Jumper. This is by far the best they've ever pulled off.
Yeah. Because even the joints in it are angled so that they smooth out corners and match up rather than just being like, this bit's going to fold in half and flip over.
Yeah.
But no, it's great. The only titch that I have with it, and I think I saw somebody had a way to fix it, and I've not come across it again, is if he doesn't have his blades on his arms, is there any place to store them?
But then again,
why would you not have the blades on his arms? I mean,
I saw some people come up with fan ways to store them, but I don't think I've heard of an official one myself.
Well, even a decent fan way, I think there's, you can kind of tuck them in the back of his legs because the way that some of his parts fold around, he ends up with huge, mostly hollow lower legs, and they will fit in there. And since they're soft plastic, you can push them down in and kind of make them stay. But
yeah, I'd be hesitant to flex the plastic, especially if it's going to be for a display for too long.
Yeah. He's got a couple of holes in his backpack that they'll plug into, but then he ends up with like a blade backpack because it doesn't sit flush.
Jeez, now I'm just running these daggers all the way around him trying to find something to peg onto.
It's weird because like we pretty quickly found because I don't think that the sheaths on Wheeljack's back were in the instructions. That was something that just kind of people pieced together pretty fast. I just assumed there'd be another, like, unspoken spot for them to go.
Yeah.
But man, these things that we used to not think about way, way back in the day, then all of a sudden Transformers were engineered to keep everything on them, and then boom.
Yeah.
He's a really nice toy, though. The articulation's brilliant on him.
Yeah.
Tons of motion in the arms.
Because he's got kind of... I don't know, the middle of bicep joint gives him double-jointed elbow, kind of?
Yeah, it's kind of weird to call it a double elbow, but yeah.
Yeah. Gives the same effect. Good shoulder. I kind of wish that his shoulder pad was on a separate piece. And if he had, like, some double-drop ball joint, but then we're getting into, like, figure art level of articulation here.
Yeah.
And I demand that from my $15 Transformers.
Only things he's really missing would be like a waist joint and something to do with the ankle. He has angled feet so that he can be splayed-legged a little bit more. And he kind of has a little bit of ankle with the way that he transforms, but if your side doors stick together well, then it knocks that out.
Hmm.
You were saying?
I wasn't saying anything.
I thought TJ was trying to say something, and I talked over him.
No, not especially.
No.
I'm going to rant about how much I like the light piping on him.
Yeah.
I really want to see a Repro-Label sticker set done for that one. Because it looks like if you can fill in some of his more, like, just, like, fields of white areas, that could be a really fantastic-looking toy.
Yeah.
And the Arms Micron version has more or less failed to do that, everything that we've seen. So,
hey, we're going to make custom sticker sheets that don't really do a whole lot.
I talked about this before, but did I tell you guys, did you look at the front bumper on that Arms Micron thing? Like, you know how his front bumper is a grill with headlights and everything sculpted in there and whatnot?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What they made was a giant flat sticker that covers all that up with like, printed headlights and grill detail. You replace his entire front bumper area, front of the car area, with a big flat sticker that splits in half for the transformation.
Nice.
I was like, wow. Wow. This, you made stickers for the lifeline things on the side of the car, and then nullified all my goodwill in one swift motion is, not cool. So Repro Labels, I hope, can get all over that ratchet and save my day. You know, my clear first world problems going on here. Aaron, did you get any other Transformers?
A whole bunch of bot shots.
Yeah, I mean, we've all been there now.
Two three-packs, both the launchers.
Mm-hmm.
If you have two primes from two different things, they actually have different numbers.
Yeah, I read about that. Right after Brentosaur on Twitter was like, don't worry about the prime for the launcher. He's more or less the same as the single-pack one. I was like, okay. Then I heard that they have different stats, and I was like, oh, but that makes some different figures. And things went crazy.
Yep, and that way you can have two primes versus each other and still resolve fights.
Well...
But the launchers do an all right job of launching them. However, the problem I've had with just about every surface that I've tried them on is the angle coming off the ramp is too steep, so it hits the nose and it goes transform, and then it like flips out and spazzes and does an even worse job of trying to stand up on its own than just rolling them at each other yourself.
Still some cool homages in those launchers though.
Yeah. Yeah, Prime definitely looks like Star Convoy, not like some G1 Optimus Prime. So I got a Star Convoy for about $8.
Yeah. That's
beat that cool. deal.
Whoa. I'll beat that deal with some medium well justice. Before we get there, Omegas has to talk about the other Transformers he got this week. Let's just hang on a second.
Could beat that deal, but I choose not to. Just to end that off, I jumped onto the bot shots too.
Everyone should.
Yeah.
Because eventually you're going to anyway, so just get it out of the way and do it now.
It's part of me that just wants to take, like, old Hot Wheels tracks and just rig it for, like, 8 to 10 at one time.
Oh, that'd be cool. My favorite thing to do with bot shots when I got the first 5 was to roll all 5 of them towards each other at once and just, like, watch what happens. It was fun.
Blammo!
Yeah.
Okay, on to other things, then. Let's see if I pull up my list now.
Oh, good lord. Is this all off topic? Or is this...
No. I'll stay on topic.
Okay, I was going to say.
All right.
We gotta properly introduce the off topic if we're going to go there, or a listener might, in fact, get angry.
No, we're good here. A friend of mine, Mario, actually had access recently to... a Hasbro employee shop.
Oh, cool!
Oh, the actual Hasbro toy shop?
Well, it's an employee shop at a plant where basically everything's sold at cost.
That's where Springer Ramulus came from, if I remember right. Like those kind of stores?
Yeah.
I don't know enough about that one.
Like the employee stores where the green Ramulus is and other things show up. Like we've all heard about them now, I think. Like,
yeah, where they were surprised. What, those weren't out in public? No. Oh, that was the only place to get them? Yeah. Oh, we should have like really bought all those then, huh? Yeah.
Well, anyway, as long as everything was half off no matter what I picked, I decided I'd go ahead and pick up some of the Dark of the Moon stuff that I had been putting off because I was kind of curious, but not $12-$13 curious.
Yeah.
So, first one was Nitro Bumblebee.
Mm-hmm.
He's okay. Like, the vehicle mode just, you know, you can see that in package. He does a great job of kind of reinventing Bumblebee. Looks very cool. None of it carries over to robot mode whatsoever.
No, he just looks like Bumblebee?
He just looks like Bumblebee again. Like, there's some of the solar panels on the chest and the heads, like, slightly different than usual.
I gotta
but...
give him credit, though. Yeah. It's fantastic how many different ways they've figured out to make something just turn into Bumblebee from the movies. Like, all right, we got this thing. All right, make it Bumblebee. All right, There you go. We got this different version, but also make it Bumblebee. All right.
You know, there's some poor schlub that's like, look, I'll do anything except for another Why is this on my desk? Why?
Oh. All right.
Another bump.
I guess I guess this one we'll put some fire on him. All right. Does he have a new gun? No?
Mm. No, it's the same. I mean, can I just paint? No, you want a new mold?
Yeah.
Our impersonation of the Transformers design process, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much. We'll be here all week. And
followed by a guy saying, screw this, I'm going to Play-Doh.
Yeah. Have a safe trip home.
So, yeah, he's pretty much an average Bumblebee all around. I mean, he gets the canon Bumblebee's kind of bicep-curling arms,
mm-hmm.
which I hate when they do that. Mech tech weapon, it might just be mine, but it doesn't work too well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you get this little tab, you get this tab in the back, it's obviously, hook your finger on this and pull back. It doesn't work when you do that, because that just kind of torques the plastic further into the gun and keeps you from pulling it out any farther.
Yeah, none of those deluxe mech techs ever seem to work well.
I've gotten some that actually do work really well. You just where you hold it by the switch and the handle with like two fingers and just like squeeze together and it works.
The
fine.
Ratchet saw works really well. Like the spinning ratchet saw with the first ratchet that came out in Dark of the Moon.
You mean the only one they never reused?
Yeah, that one worked really well. I'm looking forward to when we get to see that again.
We're never seeing it again.
No.
So, yeah. Very cool vehicle mode. He should stay that way.
Hmm.
I've seen... the other one was the Barricade from Dark of the Moon.
Oh, I actually was feeling kind of okay about that Barricade for all its little weirdnesses, I remember.
Yeah, well, I just wanted a Barricade, you know, where, you know, the arm didn't shoot out at me every time I twitched it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all I really wanted, and in that, I got what I was after.
Mm-hmm.
Picky picky.
I'm sorry, I don't like my toys randomly attacking me.
That Barricade was neat, because I think it also, to me, kind of just proved that for whatever reason, they just can't pull off a fully satisfying Barricade, but they can get really close.
Yeah. Yeah, this guy, oh boy, he needed at least half an inch higher in the waist.
Hmm.
Like, okay. He desperately needs a midsection. Because he just goes from chest to crotch.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing in the between.
Yeah, and
that's the way you do it.
He gets so, like, he's so close, though, to being, like, and like having owned, like, him and the first Deluxe Barricade and the Human Alliance, I was just like, I think I like that one the most. But I can't remember why anymore, because it's been such a while since I got it.
I do like that they actually, I do like the idea of the fake bumper and grill in the front.
Mm-hmm.
If only so you get a little bit more movie accurate, and just, it, which basically just makes the front of the vehicle look really angry.
Yeah.
And, like, he's an okay figure. There's nothing truly wrong with him. I really dig the mech tech weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Because since it's actually kind of a chain gun shape, it makes sense to be that freaking bulky as a handgun.
Yeah.
You know, beyond that, he's just okay. Like, half off, I like having him.
He is a great half-price Transformer.
Well, sometimes that's the best thing you can say.
Yeah.
It's not like, bad if you didn't really pay for him.
I was okay with mine. I paid $15 for him. The time that he came out, that seemed all right. Should find out where I put him.
I don't know. I like the function of this one better. I seriously miss the height of the original one.
Mm. I just wish that they would do a Barricade with a real hip section, like a nicely done hip section. I never liked the hips on any of the Barricades.
Barricade. You know, that's where the proportions get even weirder on this one, because he manages to have wider hips than he has a chest.
Yeah, no.
And he's using a car hood as a chest.
And that's where I was like, I think this is just on model for Barricade, and I never really paid attention to what Barricade looked like from the waist down. Like, I think that's just the on model for him. And I was like, oh, okay.
we only saw the robot mode in the dark, so it's kind of hard to tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it's okay for he's okay for what he is. Like, if he couldn't pick up the first one, he's not a bad grab.
Yeah.
And then there's the one I couldn't find anywhere around here, nor could I score him at Hasbro Toy Shop at any point, which was Darksteel.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah, this one is brilliant, because I already love this mold, and then you just, you know, did this crazy, random homage paint job that looks good, even if it wasn't based on Quickstrike.
Yeah, that one, the only, I remember I recently got that. The only problem I had with that was the mech-tech weapons.
The mech-tech weapons are all right.
Mine just didn't feel right at all. I was like, I can't get these things to... I can't get him to feel like he actually wants to hold them.
Okay, yeah, that's the problem. He's inheriting these from Deluxe Starscream.
Yeah, but there's remolds. Yeah. Someone in the thread confirmed there are remolds in there.
Well, yeah, I'm sure there are, but he still doesn't want to hold on to these things in any way that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
The only way he holds on to the big piece of it is if he has what's supposed to be the gunner barrel pointed at his head, which just means when you activate the mech tech, he slices his own neck off.
He wasn't using it anyway.
He's got a tough Texan neck. He can deal with it.
But, you know, silly mech tech aside, that really wasn't built for him to begin with, he's an awesome little figure.
Mm-hmm.
I've already said everything I did about Dark of the Moon Sideswipe, and he just does everything so much better. I just wonder why Darksteel.
It's the one nod to the 15th anniversary of Beast Wars.
Names go. I mean, if they've not like done anything with Quickstrike.
Oh, then... the name. I think Nerf has the name, if I recall correctly.
Oh, jeez.
Well, Nerf is Hasbro.
Sounds like a Nerf game.
Yeah, but the... Oh, yeah, right.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, that's why all the Transformer Blaster things are all from the makers of Nerf.
I feel like I had the discussion about why his name got changed, and then I found out a good idea why, and now I forgot it. It's going to bug me. Someone in the thread who is surprised we have not mentioned something yet, please, if you know, post it. Thank you.
Now I'm curious.
I like the way that toy reveals its colors, because most of its colors are not visible in vehicle mode than they are in robot mode, and I like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That gold just coming out of nowhere is perfect.
Yeah.
So that was awesome of him to grab. Also in the half-off from this shop, picked up... the new Voyager Megatron.
You know what I saw the other day? I went to the Dufferin Toys R Us. They finally had Voyager Prid toys, 5 Optimus Primes. That means one person bought one of each and one person bought a Megatron. And I was like, damn it.
Yeah. That's, unfortunately, these first waves are all friggin' busted when it comes to distribution. If you want something other than Bumblebee or Optimus Prime.
Like, I'm not mad, but that's like putting blood in the water for me. That's like throwing chum at a shark. So I'm like, okay, now I know the toy I want was here and is not anymore. Now I really want to find it.
Yeah, I hate
vigilant in your hunting, you would have been there in time.
Well, you know what? Sometimes I like to be a little bit more relaxed and maybe give some other people a chance.
No.
Whoa.
Toys on the internet, it's serious business.
Whoa.
Yeah, you run into that toy aisle and you scissor kick anyone in your way.
We're going to have some serious business in a little bit here, okay? Don't
I know.
Don't blow our serious business out of the water before we get there.
Jeez. Anyway, for those, like, having him and the Deluxe, there's part of me that really wants to say I like the Deluxe better.
Everything I've heard sounds like I would like the Deluxe better. Not to say I would dislike the Voyager, but it sounds like the Voyager is like a mushier sculpted version of the Deluxe almost.
Yeah. I can kind of understand this, explaining it that way. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a couple hangups. Like, okay, the translucent purple, I actually do like the use of, since, you know, that makes sense for him in the show. The whole light up power riser gimmick is kind of pointless and ridiculous because it barely illuminates anything on him.
It's a red light trying to go through translucent purple plastic. It's the whole problem.
Well, that and the way this, like, is, you know, this mech tech style weapon actually passes the light across his forearm. It only shines like the outer edge of it, and then it moves past. So it doesn't even stay there to illuminate it.
Yeah, that's the one thing that when we got the kind of preview for that I was concerned about it at BotCon last year, is that, you know, light up gimmicks are neat, but they gotta really be pushing the lumens to get it through. And they're just not.
Lumens are not pushed.
So many shades.
Negative.
There's only so many shades that works with.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're gonna do it, it's gotta be, you know, red LEDs are relatively inexpensive. So those are going to be the ones that you go for. So you got to have either something the same color or clear so that your light is not getting messed with. You get as much of that through.
So yeah, the gimmick kind of lets me down. The toy itself is really good. I mean, if you see him, grab him, if only because, yeah, he's hard to get, and yeah, he's still a cool figure. I mean, I get the kind of, I mean, We've seen the custom jobs where all this kind of brushed metal finish on him is painted properly, and it just looks so much better and darker. I still like the look of it. You know, he still looks appropriately worn to me. What bugs me is, it's stranger. Like, he's got a bigger backpack of kibble, but it's easier to deal with. Like, he's got better shoulder armor. But it just complicates the transformation, having those floating bits to find a spot for.
Yeah, like to flip it and then do this step, then flip it, then do this step.
Yeah, just kind of wiggle it right into position under this, through that. And the big one that kills me is that I was surprised he didn't have any kind of bicep swivel. Because even the Deluxe had that one.
Yeah.
I have nothing to add. I don't have the Voyager yet.
So. It's just a really strange case where, I'd say the Deluxe, the cheaper one, has technically cheaper one, supposed to be.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you're only getting it as a Deluxe out of Japan or out of Canada in a 2-pack that makes it 30-some. And
it's 30 either way.
Yeah. I'll say it's supposed to be, okay. It's a lower budgeted production toy.
Yeah. The brushed metal finish on the sculpting, it sounds like that is a huge advantage to that Megatron, provided you have a nice paint to go over top of it.
Yeah.
And the bummer is, provided you have a nice paint to go over top of it.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know. It's kind of strange to actually have a larger version of a toy and actually find more advantages in the Deluxe. Like I almost equate it to Armada Prime, where the Deluxe just topped out the larger toy.
Yeah, Bendy Prime.
Or
for
Beast
sure.
Machines Cheetor.
The house cat.
To be fair, it had barely any competition in the larger scale.
Don't talk mess on my son, alright?
Your son is adopted and you know it.
Nonetheless, I love him like blood.
The thing is, I heard you talking mess about your son.
I admit, I don't know where he is right now. I think I left him in a box on the West Coast somewhere. But
that's love. That's dedication.
That is love
somewhere.
And dedication. I left him in a box
somewhere. Maybe it was along the roadside.
Listen, he's a cat. He can feed himself. He's self-sufficient.
Find his way home.
Yeah.
Then we'll have that quirky page 3 story.
Boom.
So yeah, the Voyager Megatron's okay.
All right.
See, also in the half-off pile, though, this one did not come from any mythical Hasbro store. As one of the billion Human Alliance Leadfoots that have piled up.
Oh, I remember when that was hard to find.
Yeah.
Eesh. I've been to 3 targets around here. All of them have at least 15 of them stacked up.
I know. Yeah. And I keep, and the Japanese one is still kicking around, and every time I see the Japanese one, I think, oh, finally, a decent priced deluxe Leadfoot. Oh. It's the larger one.
Having this guy in hand, I can see why he's shelf warmed.
Yeah.
Weird toy.
Yeah. He's not especially good.
I kind of like him, but not for any defensible reason.
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of a NASCAR. He feels very barren to me.
Yeah.
He's got a whole, you know, 4 different sponsor labels on him outside of the Target one. And I'm wondering how many of those have the same parent company. Like, I'm literally wondering how many phone calls went into these approvals.
I think when you get to things like NASCAR, you may be able to say, look, these are the things that are NASCAR, are on the sponsored car. So you kind of have, I think, I'm not going to say for sure, but I think that you have a whole lot of carryover from, you know, when they say that we license the appearance, that's the appearance of the car, and the car has those decals, so it's all one.
You've got some on there like that, but, you know, I look at, like, the Energizer logo still has a little register trademark. The Lysol mm-hmm. doesn't. The Continental doesn't. The Tums does.
Those would all be, who is that parent company? Procter & Gamble?
My hands are up in the air right now. When they could be feeding me cereal, I'll have you know.
Well, okay, Deco aside, before I mention, there is, like, exactly, you know, 2 points of Deco added into robot mode. I don't know what to make of him. Because he's got the weirdest structure I've ever seen on a Transformer toy. Like, if you follow the instructions where you're supposed to leave the doors out to the side, you're not going to be able to use the arms at all.
So the instructions have a really weird transformation result.
Yeah, yeah. So you do what everyone does. You fold him to the side so there's actually bits of him on the side, and he's not just a spinal cord with a head and arms attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you figure out that, again, following the instructions, there is absolutely no connection between his belly and his chest. Like his chest is non-existent. There's this enormous gap between the two. And you can't mm-hmm. connect them together if you kind of fake bits from the Human Alliance gimmick.
Yeah, the whole thing is missing, like key components that unite his parts. Like, the details are all done, but the basic skeleton feels like it's not there. Like, everything feels like it should be able to compress or expand another half inch.
It feels like just a skeleton wearing, like,
a fat suit.
essentially, yeah, it's a NASCAR fat suit. Because there really isn't anything left in the robot mode to actually, like, nothing on the skeleton itself really speaks the vehicle mode. Everything of that is just shell on his back or his belly, the belly that just floats in front of him.
Mm-hmm. He's weird. I like his dog.
Steeljaw is probably the best thing about him.
He has a posable tongue.
Yeah, posable tongue, jaw opens. Like, the dog alone has, like, I'm looking at 13 points of articulation. In a little plastic robot dog.
I'm not.
I actually like the leash gimmick for him better than I like any of the Human Alliance gimmicks, which are just extensions of meat shield modes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's kind of a mess. And for a $30 toy, first edition bulkhead's bigger. At least in robot mode.
Well, to be fair, bulkhead was $30 in Canada, and Leadfoot would have been $45 in Canada.
Yeah, that's still proving my point here.
Actually, even more so. But Leadfoot has a dog and a lot of, like, paint apps. I don't know.
Okay, quickly on to others. Finally picked up Junk Heap.
Mm-hmm.
Which I saw it when I first went after the Prime Toys, but for some reason my Walmart decided it's the last generation on the rack. We're going to jack it to $14. And then screw that. Came here for Prime. I left with Prime. I come back about, I don't know, this is probably 3, maybe 4 weeks later. It's still there. Now it's down to 9. So that didn't work out so well for them.
I would pay $9 for him. I'd actually pay $14 for him, but I'm Canadian.
Well, I did pay $9 for him.
No, you didn't.
Okay, fine. There was tax, too. You happy?
That's right. All right.
There you go.
I feel good now.
There's such a part of me. Like, right now, I've got him in with my other generation's toys in robot mode with the Rekgar. I so don't want to leave him that way. Like, it would kill my shelf space, but I so want to leave him as a bike, if only because him and Rekgar are so visually close already.
Yeah, I think I turned mine into a robot once, and then kind of left him as a bike and put Rekgar on him, which I feel kind of bad about. But...
Basically paid that to have a Rekgar chair.
Mm.
But I don't know, that's... I'm sorry, Junkie, that's your role in life. It's still nice to have, though. I mean, at the very least, you know, I can feel a little bit more complete as far as generations goes.
Yeah.
At least until they come back again.
Or you go for the Asia exclusive ones.
Not happening.
You totally should do it.
No.
Yep.
Yeah.
Robot Kingdom's got them. They're going to have the pre-orders open. Just head over there and...
Just click, click.
Yeah. All you have to do is work one mouse with one finger and you'll own them. That's all you have to do. Listen.
People are evil.
Listen, I'm going to click my mouse. Hear that? That's the sound of commerce.
No, that's the sound of taunting. You want my sound of commerce.
That's true. I do want to hear you spend money. But that aside...
I'm going to keep telling you how much money I spent since last we met.
All right.
The only two Cyberverses I found that... interested me, I picked up RC and Cliff Jumper.
Good. Everyone should pick up Cliff Jumper. Even if you hate Transformers, you should pick up Cliff Jumper.
They hate Transformers. Why are they listening to the show?
Shh.
Okay.
They'll notice. The RC's okay.
Yep.
Yeah, she's just like the new deluxe one, though her color scheme seems to be a darker blue than the deluxe, as far as I can tell. I don't have the two side by side, but it's there. She does have a really neat transformation, considering she makes a very tiny motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
And she does have the kind of angel RC wings going for her. So, yeah, she's okay. You know, and she cheats by having Bumblebee's Cyberverse weapon.
Yeah, I did not know about that until, like, right after 2 episodes ago, I opened up Bumblebee, and I was like, oh,
yeah,
he has the gun, too. Oh, okay.
Someone pointed out that this is clever, so you can actually have a dual-wielding Bumblebee if you want one.
And a dual-wielding Ratchet.
Yep.
And, yeah, but then I goes, but they don't have their weapons. It's hardly fair, really.
Cliffjumper's got the horns on his head. That's all he needs. RC's got, you know, karate.
Speaking of Cliffjumper.
Yeah.
Oh my, this thing is transcendent.
Beautiful.
It's got more articulation than the first wave of Legends combined.
That's the standard I want to see for Legends.
Well, yeah, well, especially because they are, you know, just like most of the toys, they are a little bit smaller than they used to be.
Yeah.
You know, so he does feel a little... underwhelming detail-wise compared to the ones I'm used to. Like, especially since we just got done with a movie line.
Mm-hmm.
But holy crap. Just, between just how clever the transformation is and just how much articulation he's packing is just phenomenal. He, like, if the hips could go just a little bit farther forward, that just takes a little bit of plastic shaving, I think.
Yep. I still have to try doing it. It's been done. I've been told it is doable to shave the plastic.
Yeah, he'd be flawless with it. Yeah, okay, yeah. Even if you have no interest in Cyberverse, yeah, you are obligated to get that one.
If you have no interest in Transformers, you should get it because it's a cool little tiny car that turns into a cool robot in a cool way that you can keep in your pocket. That is like the basic reason to own that toy. I want more people to buy it.
And then there's the big app. Then there's my last Transformer for the week. Because I don't know why I suddenly decided to search for one on eBay just because. And someone just happened to post one that was 100% complete, unyellowed. And it was only up for like 3 hours before I said, yeah, that one's going to be mine. I now own a G1 Jetfire.
Nice.
Welcome to the club that I'm not a part of.
It's good to be here where you are not.
I'll just be over here with my cereal.
I'm in that club too.
I remember when I first, hopped into the internet world and the Transformer fandom at the time, and that was the holy grail everyone had, or everyone was after. Because, this was before the time where eBay made it easy to get things like Star Saber or, any of the Japanese G1s or, any Fort Max or anything like that. It was basically the entry-level Holy Grail. And I can definitely see why. I mean, just aside from being just a really cool toy in and of itself and just function-wise, way better than a G1 toy typically is. Thank you, Macross. He is just an impressive thing to have all around.
I don't have one. I have nothing to add.
that's still a quasi grail for me. So
I thought you said you had one.
No, I meant the club that you're a part of, not that.
Oh,
the not having club.
Look at this upperclassman we've got amidst our ranks, then. I wonder how he likes to have his steak done.
I am not getting into that argument.
I was asking you a question. How do you like to have your steak done?
I am not getting into that argument.
See, there is a way that you can answer it that will leave you out of the argument.
I'm a vegan.
No, that's even worse.
I'm actually not, but if it gets me away for a minute.
Aaron, there's a vegan in here.
No, you could say medium, which puts you between the two of us.
I'm not accepting medium as a viable thing that's anywhere near related to what I'm talking about. That's
what if I'm one of those weird people that eats everything raw?
Yes.
Friggin' turncoat. Did you get any other Transformers this week?
I got a G1 Jetfire. What else do I need?
Lyo Kaiser.
Okay, find me one with no gold plastic and you're on.
All right. Mission for the listeners. That's all the Transformers you've got this week.
I did say it was my last.
Then it's time for some off-topic. Now, I did mention...
Run in fear, it's off-topic.
I did mention I got some Mega Blocks. Thing is, I haven't built them yet because I can't find... I'm adding them together to be $20 a Mega Blocks. This Banshee and this little... I call it the Dude Pack. It's like... It's got a little guy in it, like a little red Covenant man, and like a shield, and a bunch of guns. Comes to about $20. A bunch of Creo sets, roundabouts, I can say, are around $20. It's really hard to find a satisfying-looking Lego set for $20. Closest I found is for $25, the Tripod Invader from the Aliens Attack set, and
okay,
I don't know if I'm going to get that or not, but any listener out there can tell me a good $20 Lego set. And I don't mean a box full of little men. And I don't mean the thing Seth got, which is like the little dark Death Star with the TIE fighter or whatever inside of it. Like, that's not... It's got to be something I can compare to the Halo Banshee. So far, Mega Bloks is actually winning for bang for your buck. Just on looks alone. Because for $13, I can get like a flying vehicle with a pilot that goes inside. Like, that's amazing. But I digress. I also got some Colgrim Glioses. I got some stuff from the new Colgrim Henshin Wave. I'm going to share some pictures of those things with the chat. But basically, I got the glow-in-the-dark Colgrim. It's basically just a bunch of Colgrims and a new version of the bike. And the main one being that they did Colgrim's warp bike and Colgrim himself in glow-in-the-dark plastic and vinyl. So I got a couple of those. And then I got a whole bunch. I got a clear Colgrim, which is just Colgrim in clear plastic. I know. Shock. The one that I really liked, though, which I might get a few more of, was the Dark Red Law Colgrim. This is the guy done in a translucent purple plastic. But the cool thing about this plastic is the way that it catches light. It catches light in a really interesting way, where if you hold up the figure or something built out of its parts, like in front of like even a lit monitor, it catches the light inside the plastic and starts reflecting it around. It's a really cool effect. And way back last year, Colgrim had a custom core of one-of-a-kind customs done as a large truck drives by my window. And coming back to you guys, so that dark purple plastic, way back, Colgrim had a custom wave of one-of-a-kind customs. A lot of pop culture references. One of them was Shockwave, basically. And so I got three of the dark purple Colgrims. Turns out I needed four to build a Shockwave entirely out of dark purple parts. But I built him using some other Colgrim parts I had, and I might figure out how paint looks on top of this dark purple plastic and then grab like four Red Laws and make my own custom Shockwave. Kind of fun. Because this would be Shockwave, but he'd look like he's made of dark energon, and that could be kind of neat. Anyway, that's the thought I had. Most importantly, though, yesterday, I had a filet mignon, which I do not have often. In fact, I might not have had one before. I can't remember anymore.
Here we go.
And I got it medium well. Because, yeah. Medium well, it was great. It was a fantastic filet mignon. They actually gave me two. Like two little circles of filet mignon wrapped in bacon with some fresh vegetables and scalloped potatoes. And I said, I like mine medium well. And it was so nice. Like nice brown juices were coming out of it. It was nice. There's no pink in there. It was a nice, thoroughly flavorful and wonderfully textured steak. Medium well. The way that men have their steaks done. Aaron, you had some comments about this on Twitter, and I believe even here.
Yes, medium rare to maybe medium is how you should cook steaks. Anything past that and you're breaking down the everything about the steak.
I'm breaking down the everything.
Just the flavor profiles of the meat, especially when you're talking filet mignon, which is a tender meat. You're being rough with it. You don't need to be rough with it.
What if I like to be rough with my meat?
Well, then you should go get some flank steak and
Whoa.
Do that.
Well, are you telling me that I am not high class enough for filet mignon?
No, you could be if you learned how to eat it properly.
Hey, listen. I walked in there and I said I'd like it medium well. And you know what the server did? Smiled at me and said, okay.
Yeah. He smiled at you like a drooling idiot.
It was a lady, I'll have you know.
She smiled at you like a drooling idiot. Had you gone, she would have gone, oh, that's special. When you said medium rare, she's like, oh, well.
On my way out.
Okay, it's going to be one of those.
On my way out, the cooks said thanks and smiled. And I said, thank you for the meal. And they said, thank you for your kind patronage. Only not quite.
Now you're lying.
No, the cooks did. We had a moment, me and the cooks. We were like, hey, thanks.
Okay,
thank
so
you.
Then the cooks called me and said there was this weird idiot that came in here. I can play this game too if you want.
I just want to know if the cooks left their station and abandoned their jobs to say this, or did you burst into the kitchen and demand sacrifice?
The kitchen is a bar-style kitchen. It's in the same room as the eating happens.
So what they were doing actually was mocking you.
No.
Yes,
they were like, wow, finally, someone, you know, of a true classy nature with, you know, diamond teeth came in here and said, I want it medium well. And they said, a filet mignon medium well. We've been waiting for the chosen one. And man, I made their day. I made their day. You know, when I said I had a filet mignon medium well, Mumps was it Mumps? Someone on Twitter, I forgot who now, one of the Canadians said, oh, you got your steak done the right way before you said anything, I might add.
I'm starting to think the cook just smiled and thanked you because they had one that was horribly, horribly burnt and now they didn't have to throw it out.
This was not just one steak. This was a two-piece meal, in fact. There were like two, whatever you call them, florets of filet mignon.
So it was two pieces wrapped in bacon. So yeah, you got the tail end then of the tenderloin. That's why they were grinning, because they could get rid of some of the junk steak they had left over from the end of the chop.
Get rid of the junk steak. It was fantastic stuff, cooked beautifully. And you know what? I invite the listenership to have. I'm going to do this. All right. If you guys start fighting, I'll like delete posts. But I invite the listenership to discuss in the thread how they prefer to have their steak done, because I say with a halo over my head and complete innocence in my mouth that I certainly love to watch people calmly debate what kind of steak they like.
Just tell me, does that look good?
Hang on a second. What did you link?
Or this one. That's not going to be good for anybody else, but you're picking a fight.
The first one looked better.
Well, it's gray. It's gray all the way through.
Do you not see the pink hue right in the middle of that?
No, that's not pink. Look at the second one.
One is bleeding.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. Look at that.
No, that's pink.
That's bright
that,
red.
That there is pink. That's not bright red.
Oh.
That's not bright red. You want to see bright red?
I don't know what monitor you're looking at. Okay, but
this one that I've had specially image corrected to make sure that all of the colors are true and perfect. That's red.
Have a look at this. That's the same picture you just showed me.
No,
that looks
no.
identical.
It has two different file names. It's on two different pages.
I can rename a file. I've done that last week.
I'm going to click
between the two of them. Okay.
So then how does this one look to you then?
Two different pictures, yes. But I am still seeing reds everywhere.
Does that last one look good to you?
Well, I mean, I'd eat that, but I wouldn't order that. I think that the first one you showed me that said medium well looked quite palatable.
Horrible, horrible things that you're doing to meat.
Especially, as I was eating the filet mignon, I was literally turned to my brother, who I was meeting up with, and I said, I can't wait to go on Twitter and say I had a filet mignon medium well. And he said, why? And I said, because one of my favorite pastimes is to go on Twitter and start the steak argument. That's what I'm hoping I can see in the thread. Even though this is kind of spoiling it now, hopefully people have already run to the thread to just, you know, lay down their law. But my favorite part about the steak argument, I talked about this on the Cape Radio, but not here, is it always goes in cycles. I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but there's a pattern to it. You start off, you get me, the medium well guy, to face off against the medium rare guy, right? And then I, as the medium well guy, start to cull the support of the well-dones, he calls the support of the rares. And then the mediums, kind of, some come to him, some come to me. And then it starts off as a two-sided argument. Then the next stage hits, which is that the medium wells start to argue against the wells, and the medium rares start to argue against the rares and vice versa. The rares start going, wait a second, medium rare? And then the well-done guy's like, wait a second, medium well? And you get this infighting happening. And then all the mediums reunite into a third faction going like, you guys are all crazy. Medium's the way to go. And then so you get all this infighting. Everyone's in a melee, but kind of tenuously standing on each side of the line, right? Then the blue rare people show up. And this one of them will show up and it's like, well, I like it blue rare. And then it's just like the nuclear bomb drops in the middle of the football field and it's just open melee, blood in the streets, everyone fist fighting, chewing each other's teeth, just like clawing their eyes out. And then about 5 minutes of that, then everyone goes like, you know what? Steak is awesome. And everyone goes like, yeah, steak is awesome. And then there's peace and everyone feels really good about it. And then if you want to have the epilogue, you then go like, hey guys, I prefer Chicago deep dish. And then just get the whole fight going again.
Oh, no.
So
what I will say is one of the best steaks that I have had was from a place that I trusted the sourcing, and I did go for very rare or blue, and that was It's why I like
you went for blue.
Yeah.
You're the guy.
Yeah. Oh, it's when the thing is, though, that I'm only going to do that from a place that is well sourced for their meat. I'm not going to go to Outback and do that.
Uh-huh.
This was like a specialized steakhouse that's what you go there for.
Well, this
I had a friend that was with it. It's like, I think I'm going to have the chicken wings. And everybody looked at them like they would just went, bop, bop.
I just want to throw it out there. Aaron has now volunteered to be the guy who shows up that says blue rare.
If it is a place that I can trust as a good steakhouse and is sourcing their stuff well, and you're probably paying $150 a plate, then yeah,
man.
I'll go like that.
Oh, man. This is a whole new discussion.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Did
you see?
The time that I had that steak, it was a contractor paying for it. That I was, it was like one of those, oh, okay, well, you'll come to this and this and that and sales meeting, and then we'll go to the steakhouse. And then I went and I saw those prices. I'm like, really?
Well,
really.
Less a money issue. Blue rare is very unique in that, obviously, to the more well-done side of the spectrum, we just find that completely insane. But the thing that I like about blue rare is even the people who get rare steaks sometimes look at a guy getting blue rare and go like, that guy's crazy.
Yeah, like, well, I'll admit it's crazy, but it's got to be the right cut. It's got to be a really tender cut to begin with so that you're not chewing all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got to be something that I trust the source on, that it's not like been sitting out for 3 days before they cooked it.
I really want to meet up. Okay, so BotCon, if I make it out to BotCon, we got to go get steaks, and I want to make you watch me eat a medium well filet mignon.
I'll only mock you and your. No, I won't mock your parentage because your mom is cool. I might call your home and see if your mother maybe dropped you four or five times in a row.
I could hear you literally. I could just hear knuckles grinding. I could hear just that moment of like, oh, he just like the click. It was like right there.
And then I would go for the rare and just eat it with just like let the juices run down my face.
Would you just bite into it hard enough to like squirt? Would you just bite hard enough to squirt the juices in my face? Just like,
well, I wouldn't use a knife and fork at that point. Just be like,
and then say a whole lot of S's, P's, and T's at me while you're eating it.
Yeah. Do that little flick out of the corner of the tooth. Oh, I'm sorry. I got a little something on
you. Would spray cow blood on my face. Well, I'm trying to enjoy
it. It's not cow blood. It's intramuscular juices. They drain all the blood out of an animal before they process it.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. That's why you age beef.
Intramuscular juices.
Yes.
Okay. Is that a non-Newtonian fluid?
That is not blood. It's the proteins in the muscle that start to break down.
I'm sorry. I've had filet mignon properly, and blood sounds tastier than muscular meat or muscular juices.
Intramuscular juices.
Intramuscular juices.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm gonna call it blood because it sounds better.
But it's not blood. There's no cells in there.
It sounds tastier.
No,
blood.
There's none of that. See, this is the problem. Is that I'm a food geek in the way that I understand the processes that happen, so I know what makes yummy things yummy.
I just like starting the steak fight because I think it's a fantastic argument. Because at the end of the day, do you know what the beauty of the steak argument is? In an internet where people can legitimately get angry at each other and choose to hate somebody over their opinion on media or religion or politics or even just music – steak is something people will argue passionately and then have a hug afterwards. That's the beauty of the steak argument. The pizza argument, I believe the same thing can happen. I've not yet managed to instigate one to the degree.
That gets into some regional stuff too.
Yeah, but I got an intra-media steak argument going over the chat of the Cape Radio and Twitter simultaneously with some crossover. Biggest steak argument I've ever started. I almost got the pizza one going, but everyone was tired of the steak one.
But you see, steak doesn't have the regional.
That's the beauty
stuff.
Of it, though. That's what I want to see.
Pizza
does.
Because you
see
get people from Chicago, and that other stuff is not pizza. You get people from New York with their big.
Chicago, New York, and Italy. I want to get those three sides to just run at each other. and see if they can come out at the other end bloody but
really
smiling.
You really want to get them working. You get the St. Louis in there because that's the ones that's like the Midwest other than Chicago where it's the really thin crust.
Oh.
That nobody else does but Pizza King's and Arnie's.
Oh my God.
That and it's Chicago it's deep a dish, lot though. Thinner crust.
And can I just say I've not heard the franchise Pizza King brought up in like 15 years.
Yeah, they're huge around here.
I know. As a kid, we ate there once a week.
Well, Chicago deep dish. You know what I find weird about that? That's the one people always turn on first. Like even in a passive aggressive way, where even people who like it, they say, "Oh yeah, Chicago deep dish. It's actually a casserole, but I like it."
Yeah.
And I'm like, do you realize how much of a sick burn that is to tell someone their pizza is actually a casserole? Like,
well, it's because it is. What's a casserole? Then what's a Chicago deep dish pizza? Go. Tell me how
see,
the two things are different.
Well, that's the beauty of it, because the Chicago folks, I almost want to side with them, even though I don't like deep dish that much, like compared to, you know, normal real person pizza. Like, I always want to like give the Chicago people my support, because no matter what they do, it's great. It's also a casserole. That will always come up. Even the people who say, "Oh, I don't disagree with you, it's just a casserole." It's fantastic. Anyway, I really wanted to have this conversation. Maybe I'll have it again sometime, but I feel bad for the listenership who I'm sure there are people out
dealt
there
with now 20 minutes of food talk here.
Hey, not food talk. All right. This is soul talk, but there was no plastic involved. So I should pass the mic along. Aaron, what did you do that was off topic aside from, you know, your crazy steak?
Picked up a whole whack of switches for the Force belt.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember all what they are, because they're in a bag in another room. 8 switches, and there's a potential of another 11 or so on the way. Thank you, mysterious person.
I wonder who that is.
Yeah, I wonder who that
sounds
could
be. Like a nice guy.
Sounds like a jerk to me.
Trying to think what else I've gotten. Big vet bill. Dog is missing 2 teeth now, but his breath smells oh so much better. What else? Oh, I must apologize as a geek for a moment. I just picked up the first trade of the Walking Dead series.
There we go.
The problem that I had
is
a problem that happens to me oftentimes with media. I hear about something and it's like, oh, okay, I should check that out. And then it becomes the most super awesome thing in the world ever.
Well,
ever.
You know how you avoid that problem is when the first person tells you to check it out, you trust in your friend and you go and check it out. That's how you avoid that problem.
The thing was, my comic shop was getting hit so hard for Walking Dead stuff that I'd go in and say, "Hey, you guys picked up that?" Because it would have been when by the time the third or fourth trade came out, when it was really starting to go up the roller coaster. And I was asking, you know, "Hey, you got that first trade. We've got one coming in and there are 5 people that want it before you." Okay, no worries. So I didn't think about it. And then it became this super awesome thing. Everybody was talking about Walking Dead. "Oh my God, did you see Walking Dead?" "Yes, Walking Dead was so cool. Oh, it was so da 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 da." And I was like, "Oh, Aaron, have you seen?" "No, I haven't seen it. I haven't read the comic books. You guys are talking it up way too much. It can't be the super cool, awesome, mind-blowy, perfect cool. All right, you guys enjoy." And so now it seems like that's either topped out or died down, or I'm just no longer hearing all the noise. And went into the comic shop and they're like, "Yeah, we got a first trade and you were still wanting that, right?" Like, "Yeah, well, what number are they on now?" He's like, 12 or 14. "Okay, well, you got me the first one. I did ask for it. I'd forgotten that I'd asked for it, but I'll go ahead and get it and read it." And it turns out, hey, that first one was pretty cool. And
yeah,
to get number 2 is going to be a couple weeks still. So I may end up just going the Amazon route and ordering that or doing something with it. But I do want to continue reading it, and it does seem as if it will be a very interesting series.
I will mention I have not yet watched the TV show.
Yeah, see, I think that's where it flipped for me, where I was like, "Well, look, I'm just going to let other people be super crazy with this because I, for the last month, have been like marathoning all the Doctor Who that I can get a hold of on Netflix and download, and that's been enough."
Well, you know how I made time for Walking Dead? I never got into Doctor Who. That's how I made time for Walking Dead. Now, I'm not trying to say this is what you, that's what you get for getting into Doctor Who, but, you know, that's what you get for getting into Doctor Who.
Yeah, but I, like I said, enjoyed it, and if the comic shop picks them up more rapidly, then I'll probably go for it, because the at least the small trades, I don't know if there are larger ones, but they're like $10 a pop for what it'd be normally, maybe 4 to 6 individual books worth of comics, so more than happy to pay that much for them. And if it ends up being something that I can make look like a good series on a bookshelf because they are bound, then all the better.
Hell yeah.
But that is the extent of what I've got.
All right. Omegas, how do you like your steak?
Raw.
Yeah.
Well, I see. What did you get this week that was off topic?
Several things. First off, since it was, I've been putting it off for an eternity now, I picked up the D-Arts Rockman Full Armored X.
I actually still haven't picked that up.
It amazes me, because it's my favorite version of any Mega Man of all time. And for some reason, I put it off since its release. I'm not sure why.
It was kind of a terribly unexciting release for the time it came out, I think. Because I was like, post-X, post-Zero... just getting into, like, are they going to do the other Zero? Oh, there's all these other Figure Arts things. Oh, by the way, D-Arts Full Armor X. Okay, anyway, all this other stuff happening. Like, that's what I recall.
Well, I recall a lot of hype for it because they did this thing at a toy show where they just had an armor capsule set up and you could see the silhouette inside.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they hyped it, and I can remember a lot of excitement leading up to it, but when it came out, it was just like, oh, awesome, that's here. And no one really mentioned it again.
Yeah.
But you know, to me, it's a big deal because, you know, as far as X toys go, all we had were like the Bandai models back then. And I don't think they went earlier than like the third video game.
No, they were like whatever the one was with Tengu Man. Oh, wait, that
Tengu
was a pre-X.
Tengu Man was Mega Man 8.
Yeah, well, he got a figure too, and that I'm talking about that model kit line. Whatever X game was out in that era, and Mega Man 8, so that was what X.
It was. It would have been X3.
Yeah, 3.
Yeah,
because that was the last one that was on the SNES.
I just remember in Japan
it was on the PlayStation with Mega Man 8.
Yeah, Tengu Man was the one man figure who got one of those model kits for some reason.
I think Swordman got one too.
Did he?
Pretty sure.
I just always remember Tengu Man and the guy with the big fist.
Duo,
yeah.
So anyway, yeah, he's a really cool figure. They did this weird thing where his shoulders are extended out a little bit, so he can actually cross his arms over a little bit farther.
Mm-hmm.
So just so he can get into some more poses without the armor getting in the way, and that is mostly because, like, the trademark of this series is that they all come with a blast effect of some kind, and in his case, it is the most gigantic lump of blue plastic I've ever seen that was still called an accessory, because anyone else would call it a factory accident. This thing requires its own stand just to stay up. And apparently they knew that because it does come with one. It's literally like this, 1.5, 2-inch wide ball, spiky blue plastic fireball.
Is it heavy too?
Well, you know, fairly heavy. It's a solid lump of blue plastic.
Hmm.
You know, the weird thing is they actually give you this little pin so it could attach to his blaster. This guy has no chance of holding it up.
You could shoot it straight up, couldn't you? Like, if you balance it so it's the center of pressure?
No.
Severe balancing act, but like get him to shoot directly up.
I would be amazed with the toy if it could. No, the reason you get this thing is because, you know, if he could do like the fireball motion from the first X game with this thing.
Oh yeah.
I miss old gaming like that. Just little goofy secrets for no reason. These days you pay $5 extra to use a fireball. But yeah, he's a very cool toy. The cross compatibility with the original X figure is really cool.
Mm-hmm. I like that idea. That was neat. It made sense.
Yeah. I am really hoping that they actually continue this line so we can intermix armors.
I want the X4 Ultimate Armor.
It wouldn't surprise me if they skip around and do a couple others that they hit that one, because that's usually their most popular.
Yeah, because they're already doing Sword Zero, so that's going to be one out of the park.
Yeah.
And they're doing a Tamashii Web thing of X4 Ultimate Armor and X4 Black Zero, because I remember those two guys got model kits back then that, like, went with the game.
Yeah. Moving on from that, in the same order, I picked up Gokai Blue.
Oh!
Gokai Red wasn't there. No, he is a very awesome figure. Like, I didn't have any of the Gokaigers before, so I didn't realize just how much they improved over the Shinkengers.
Yeah, massively.
Oh, yeah. And just the ludicrous amount of swords he comes with just makes him just this awesome toy for posing.
And I think it ended up looking better than Gokai Pink's double pistol.
Yeah.
Took me a while to figure out how to get Gokai Pink to even hold the double pistol, and then I was like, eh.
Yeah.
I don't even remember her using one.
I just saw her use it actually in Gokaiger Gavan, but for like a shot, by the way. I'm very close. Probably by next week I'm going to have all of the Gokaigers.
Spoilers.
Silver is sitting in pile of loot. For me, at Big Bad, waiting on an eventual fours, maybe.
Yellow is on the way here.
I'm just starting.
Welcome to pain, because especially if you got blue.
I went after Hercules in one go, okay? It was either him or the Gokaigers. So Gokaigers, I'm going to go. I went fast on Hercules, I'm going slow on Gokaigers.
I have a story about Gokai Yellow I'll tell later.
But yeah, exceptionally cool figure. In similar vein, since I've learned to respect the generosity of my fans, generally, unless I already own something or otherwise can't use it for a video, I will accept anything that someone wants to send me. And this rule ended up getting me a 10-soder.
For a second, I thought you said something about a soldering iron, and I was like, what are you planning to do? And then I, like, replayed what you said in my head. I was like, oh.
Yeah, it's the little Ghost Sager changer.
You have to make cards now.
I already did.
Oh, good. Excellent.
Well, here's the thing. I sit down, and, in an already crunched video schedule and my limited free time, that you would put toward, say, Mass Effect 3
or something of that nature. About. I've never played Mass Effect 3 in my life.
Anyway, my little bit of free time came for actually creating these little blank black and white cards with all the barcodes on them, because, Decade is popular enough that it's a one-click PDF. Open, print, done. Not so much for Ghostager. So there I am with like a gallery of cards with like what each one does, and taking these templates over and over and over. There's 94 of these things. Print them out, cut them all out, sort them out. I'm good. I sit down for a plethora of noises coming out of this thing. It's the Korean version. Okay, I printed out 94 cards. The Korean version reads 31.
That's kind of hilarious.
So what I figured out was they don't market the cards in any other way. Like, all the extra barcodes in there are for the Daiso machine, their version of Gamba Ride. Mm-hmm. So, there's commands for any generic green ranger. There's commands for any generic red ranger. That kind of thing. Little quotes and little sound effects based on different mecha, different types of heroes, etc. A lot of, you know, just a bunch of variety. In Korea, they don't have the Daiso machine. They have no intention of marketing anything besides the Gosager toys, and nothing beyond that. So, only the cards they produce for the toys are actually in the machine, which leads you to weird things like you can only summon two of the five Gosei machines,
mm-hmm.
or whatever they call them in that series. You only have two spells out of, like, I don't know, 20.
Mm-hmm.
It just leads to these really weird gaps in the sound effect selections.
Weird.
Yeah. I find it interesting because technically it's not Gosager in Korea, because they do market it as Power Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of saying Gosager, it says Miracle Force. And I thought that was hysterical that they just, you know, whereas in America, we completely skip the series because we can't avoid the angelic overtones of everything. Whereas Korea just goes full bore with it.
Angels!
We're just going to up the symbolism on this. So it's almost, I appreciate it because it's kind of this forbidden Power Ranger series. And it's a fun little goofy toy. You know, it's a big face you can feed cards to.
I like the sculpt on it. I mean, it looks funny. It's nothing I'd really want because there's nowhere to put it. It's just like
pretty much.
Big head that you stuff cards in its mouth and it says,
like, it did come with a belt too.
Oh wow.
So okay, you know, so I could just like I don't know, strap the belt onto a bucket and hang the face off the bucket. I don't know.
Hang the Face Off the Bucket is my favorite hit single by my band.
Uh-huh.
True story. There's a loud car outside my window. It's very distracting.
Okay, so...
Back pedal.
On to things we actually care about. Finally finished my Kandroid collection.
Oh, welcome.
With the purple one I hate pronouncing.
I don't remember any other names. I just remember that one. Yeah. That's the one that says it makes noise, and it's like it technically does.
It technically does. I mean, it's the same little squawk that it makes in the show, but that's just them holding a microphone up to the toy.
Yeah.
I don't know. To me, it's got the best transformation.
Yeah, out of the batch. It does have a good switch.
Yeah. So it's the Pteranodon, the purple one.
Yeah.
It's pronounced Patera literally in Japanese, which is just sounds weird.
Puto.
What'd you call me?
Huh? I said medium well is what I said.
You mother.
Yeah.
Moving on, also got a bunch of new Astro Switch, Claw, Giant Foot, Screw, Nego, and Stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Giant Foot is now taking the place as my favorite one.
Yeah, I like everything about that Switch.
Just as, like, it does the exact opposite of all the others, where everything else just kind of, just either, you know, makes things, you know, rise up or flip around, and no, boom, big imprint in it.
Yeah.
Just a neat little effect. Also picked up what I was very hesitant to pick up because there were no pictures forever on this thing, which was the Legends Dengasher.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people got scared because any of the Legend toys are generally smaller than the original, generally dumbed down.
Mm-hmm.
This is the exact same sculpt that they released in 2007.
Oh, that's cool. I like that toy. That was a really well-done little roleplay toy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's fun to goof around with. Like, literally the only change is they took the LED out. But besides that, the toy that costs a fortune to get these days, you can get on AmiAmi dirt cheap now, and it's the exact same thing.
Yeah, it's a really cool toy.
Yeah. We'll say it's not quite as modular as you would think. because the parts only go into certain slots in certain directions. But
do you need it to do more than that?
Well, in the you do have the option in the the others that you see in the show in the movies, because it does form Sieg's hatchet and boomerang. Of course, that's just, you know, the gun mode taken into two pieces, really.
Yeah.
And they were smart enough in the show where when you get around to G. Deno, he uses the gun in the sword mode with the axe blade extended. So yeah. Technically, they've canonized three different alternate ways of goofing with the toy. So they advertise four. Technically, there are seven in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's pretty much the limit of what you can do with it.
It's just, yeah, it's a nicely satisfying little thing, I remember.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just fun to goof with.
Hmm.
Back to Forze, got the power dizer.
Thing looks fun.
It's weird. He actually fits quite in with like Energon figures, I find. Yeah, he is a neat little toy. I'm really starting to like this idea of packing in the motorcycle of the year with, you know, just some big gimmick toy.
Yeah.
Because it does give you a lot more reason to pick it up, because generally it's just this really expensive prop in any other sense.
Mm-hmm.
I love the little touches in it, because it does pretty much everything you see it do on the show. It's got the three modes. It has the same sound effects. The one that makes me laugh is that you can, when you put him into tower mode to blast off the bike, it has the countdown, it has the rocketing off noise, but at the end, at the very end, it has that little gleam sound effect. Like you see in anime, like Team Rocket's blasting off again. Ding!
Yeah.
Which I find hysterical. And just to wrap up, finally picked up my own Meteor driver.
Nice. I remember there was a good 3 weeks when everyone could not find that. Then it was like, oh, it restocked.
Yeah, well, that tends to happen with all the secondary belts, I find.
I know, that's why I was surprised everyone was worried. I was like, it's going to be back.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that always happens. The main one is always hard to find no matter when. But the secondary one will always, always be easy to get, you know, on its second or third run.
Yeah.
It is an incredibly satisfying toy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you get down to it, it is fairly limited, because really you're only dealing with really three switches, and then all the others are generic sound effects.
Okay.
But the spin gimmick and the light-up sequence on it is probably one of the coolest combinations of sound and motion I've seen in a rider belt. It's an incredibly cool-looking sequence.
All the footage I've seen of it made it look like it was nice and inventively done.
Yeah. You know, the only weird thing is that you basically have to slap the belt to activate any of the other switches.
Mm-hmm.
Because the lever on the side, all that does is activate the henshin.
Yeah.
And the dirty little secret of that is, you don't even have to have a switch in it to do that.
Yeah.
But if you can't get the Forze driver, it's a very cool toy on its own.
Well, I mean, the whole thing sounds like it's just as a secondary belt. It doesn't rely on the original much at all.
Oh, no. Not at all. I mean, if you've got other switches, it's a bonus. You do have a generic noise for any of the other round switches you could plug into it. For the most part, if you've got fire and elec in any way, you can get everything out of the belt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, yeah. That's it. I'm done.
Ah. Medium well. I'm done too. I am medium well done. Well, that's our show, everybody. Thank you all for tuning in. Once again, you know, do be sure to take part in the steak and pizza discussion in the thread that hopefully has already begun. Thank you, Aaron and Omegas, for joining me once again. If you would like to leave us a voicemail, The number to call is 318-775-9830. That's 318-775-9830. 318-775-9830. We'll be back next week with more WTF and TFW, more prime time, and more delicious medium well filet mignon. So, until then, stay intramuscular.
What the f*** it means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.